Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on Saturday, February 6th, 2016. This is episode 1259. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service pharmacy that combines convenient packaging, modern technology, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and over-the-counter drugs when you transfer your prescription. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet. Let's see what else. Oh, a few other things. Home theater, smartphones, smart watches, digital photography. 8888 Ask Leo. We could talk about the Amazon Echo. That is an amazing device, getting smarter all the time. Amazon just announced that you can now have your Echo. You know what the Echo is? It's a black tube that sits in your home. And the thing that makes it interesting is it has an always-listening array mic that works across the room. So you can say, hey, Echo, and it go bloop. But now the things it can do are interesting. So when I first got the Echo, mostly I said set a timer for 20 minutes, and it would do that. It would say, okay, setting timer. And 20 minutes later it would go bing, bong, bing, bong. You could set an alarm. You could ask it what time it was. You could say, what's the weather? What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? You know, those kinds of things. Kinds of things you can ask your smartphone. Thing is, you didn't have to press a button. It was always listening. It was on all over the room. And so it was kind of like talking to your house, really. That was, the secret appeal of it. It's like HAL 9000. You can talk to it. Except there's no pod bay door it could lock. So you were safer from it. But they've slowly added capabilities. Now I can tell jokes. I can use it to turn on lights, which is cool. And they just added this week, I think in honor of the Super Bowl, because you know there's going to be a big Echo ad on the Super Bowl with, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin. What they've added, you can ask it, you can order a pizza. Of course, you could always order stuff from Amazon. You could put stuff on your shopping list. And if you were an Amazon Prime subscriber who had ordered something in the past, you could actually directly order it again. So if, you know, you always ordered kitchen sponges from Amazon Prime, you could say, hey, Echo, get me some more sponges. And it would know what kind you used and would just get some more. A day and a half later, but you'd get it. Now you could say, I'm not sure what the exact syntax is. I want a pizza from Domino's, unfortunately. But, hey, pizza's pizza. And now you could say, hey, get me a car because it's tied into Uber. That's interesting. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how it would work, because one of the nice things about Uber when you do it on your phone is you can see who's coming and where they are, how far away they are and all that. Maybe the Echo talks to you back. I don't know. I haven't tried it. So I just think she's getting smart and smarter and smarter, and I'm really watching carefully because I feel like Amazon has an interesting play here. Something is going on with this. They're talking about doing a portable one that you have to push the button for. That's wrong, Amazon. That's not what people want. The whole point of the Echo, the thing that's exciting about the Echo is you're talking to your house. What we want is better speakers. You can make it a Bluetooth phone speaker, you know, so you can answer your calls on it and stuff. But and you can play music on it. They just tied it to Spotify. I've been able to play my Amazon music through it. You can play music, but it's not a very good speaker. It's good for audiobooks. You can also have, because Audible, the audiobook company, is owned by Amazon. You can have it read you your books, which is nice. I have one in the kitchen, and I just, while I'm cooking or doing kitchen chores, I just say, hey, read me a book. And it reads to me from my current book where I left off. It's, I think, the most, frankly, the most interesting tech product of the last year. Really is. Great article in the New York Times today. I highly recommend reading it. Tips on reducing cable and phone bills from ethically ambiguous experts. Turns out this is a business. Out of Brentwood, Tennessee, a couple of brothers, Ben and Julian Kurland, set up an operation called Bill Fixers. You would hire them, say, you can act as my agent, and they would call on your behalf. They would call Comcast or whoever your cable company is. They would, now this is the ethically ambiguous part. They would say they're you. Well, it's just, you know, that's just expedient. It's easier. You could authorize them as, you know, you could add them to your bill and then they could do it too. But what the heck? Just say you're me. And they have the techniques. Techniques I've talked about for a long time. First thing you do is say, I'm quitting. Quitting time, moving on. See you later, Comcast or Verizon. And then they know how to handle. They say, be very nice, by the way, which is good. They say, be very, very nice. They say, most of the time, these representatives are getting yelled at. So if you're nice, and they have a lot of power, so if you're nice, you can go a long way. I've said that before, not just with the on the phone people, but even like when you go to an Apple store, be nice to the genius. Comcast is not thrilled about this, but they said, Time Warner Cable says, legal or not, lying or misrepresenting yourself is rarely a good thing. Who cares? Lie on my behalf. But apparently they're very successful. They have a very high success rate in the 90s, 90%, getting people's bill cut. And then they split the difference. So you get half of the savings and they get half of the savings, which is a good little business for them. Here's what the reporter says she picked up by listening in. Start with the cancel my service option on your service provider's phone tree. If you have trouble, come to retention. But play nice. The main thing is to be super friendly, says Ben Kurland, one of the brothers. The reps get yelled at all day, every day. They hold a lot of power. And if you aren't courteous, you never know when, say, your DVR might accidentally disappear from your service. Come to the call prepared. Know what prices are available elsewhere. If you have a television subscription of some sort, they'll offer HBO or other premium channels free. Don't like TV? Ask for something else, maybe higher speed internet. Ask for a new customer discount, even if you're an old customer. You can even ask for a one-time credit just because you're angry or you're down on your luck. Always avoid new contracts, Bill Fixers says. Best not to get locked in so you can do this again next year. Oh, yeah. Once you have a firm offer, this is really a good one, write down the details and call back. It isn't real until you can get a second representative to repeat the new price. Apparently, they learned this the hard way, the early days. So, it's okay to play this game because the cable companies and the phone companies are playing it right back. He says, it's a deeply pleasant thing, says Ben Kurland, to be taking money from Comcast and their ilk and to be able to provide jobs while doing it. But this is a job, if you have the guts, you can do yourself. You have to be a little firm with them. And that's my problem. I'm kind of a pushover. Many of us are. But it is my advice, you know, push, because the problem is there is no particular price. And so there's, just like airfares, there's a lot of flexibility here. They can play with it a lot. I want to talk, we'll talk later in the show about Windows 10, big change in Microsoft's policies. They are going to start installing Windows 10, whether you like it or not, on your Windows 7 or 8 machines. Windows 10 will be a recommended update. And for most of us, the default setting is install recommended updates, recommended and critical updates. So if you don't want Windows 10, you're going to have to take some steps to avoid it. And we'll talk about why you may not want Windows 10. I like it, but even if you turn off all the call home, phone home features, apparently Windows 10 still is phoning home for a variety of reasons. And for some people, that's a turnoff. I have to say, it's shocking in a way. I can't think of... Can you think of an example of another company forcing you to take an upgrade? Like just doing it to you? Let's talk. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Skype out will work if you're outside those areas. And, of course, the website, techguylabs.com. That's a great resource, too. We'll talk next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, look who's here, the phone ranger, Heather Hammon. Should I say Hammon? Like a Hammontosh?
Yeah, I do sometimes, too.
Heather Hammon.
When I'm feeling a little more Putin.
Hello, Heather Hammon. Oh, well, what do you have for us? A call, perhaps?
Perhaps I do.
In Soviet Russia, radio show calls you.
Oh, my God. Wait, are you Rocky now? No, that's a squirrel. Who am I thinking of?
That's Yakov Smirnov.
Oh, or him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Max in West Palm has a pressing Super Bowl Sunday kind of question.
Oh, I like West Palm. And it is tomorrow's the big day, right?
I guess so.
Holy cow. Hey, Max, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, what's going on?
What's happening?
Quick question for you.
I can bet we won't see any WhatsApp commercials on the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Basically, I just got a projector, and it only supports the RCA input along with VGA, so not really HD. And I want to know if there's any way possible to make a coaxial cable go into it by using a tuner.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I can't believe you bought a projector that didn't have HDMI into it.
I actually didn't buy it. I got it.
You inherited it. Yeah, it's pretty old. That's why you inherited it. So you have only analog connectors into there. So what you need, you know, is some analog input. Which it, now, does it have the red, green, blue cables, or is it just red, white, and yellow?
It's just red, white, and yellow.
Oh, it's really old. So you have your choice between composite. Does it have S-video?
Yes, it does have S-video.
Okay, S-video would be the best of the... If you don't have component, which is the red, green, blue, then S-video... Components of analog choices, component, S-video, composite are the choices. So what you'd like to do is find a tuner that has S-video out. Many cable boxes do. Are you connected to cable? How are you getting the signal?
It's actually in my dorm, so I don't even need any box, just right from the wall.
Okay. So you have a coaxial cable coming out of the wall.
That's correct.
Do they must have a cable box attached to it. Does it go right into the TV?
Yeah, you go right from the wall to the TV, no other box required.
Oh, that's interesting. So they're delivering analog video unscrambled, I would presume, because what this cable box does is it descrambles and converts the digital signal. What kind of TV is it hooking up to? Is it a fairly late model or is it an older TV?
Right now it's a pretty modern TV. It's okay. Just a Vizio, but I want to get rid of the TV and just use the projector instead.
But it would work with any TV? See, obviously the school is providing this cable service.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to figure out if there's analog on the cable. If there's analog on the cable, this is trivial. You just need a converter that'll take coax in and S-video out. Oh, you said you had VGA into it as well?
Yes.
Okay, that's also analog. I think the VGA might be marginally better, but you can go to monoprice.com and buy a analog coax converter to VGA or analog to S-video. The issue is going to be, that's monoprice.com, cheap cables, good cables. The issue is going to be if it's scrambled or not. And I don't think it is, if it's digital or rather. It's not scrambled, if it's digital. And I presume the school doesn't say, well, you have to have a late model TV to use it. They probably support like old, you know, 19-inch class TVs, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Are there any that you'd suggest?
What do you have in the common room? Probably some crappy old TV, right? You have a nice TV in your room. Go to Monoprice and just look for a converter because you're going analog to analog. If you're going digital to analog, in other words, if the cable were providing a digital signal and wasn't compatible with older TVs but only with newer TVs, then you would have to get a box that a digital converter box. The government was giving those away for a while when they forced television stations to go digital. It was just hard to tell. I mean, I wonder if somewhere in the school if they could tell you if it's QAM, clear QAM, what it is that you're getting over that. I'm guessing that it's probably an analog signal.
Yeah, it is probably analog, but also, like I said, when I need just a converter itself to actually, you know, change the channel or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you do need a tuner. You're right. Because there's no, because you're using your TV as a tuner, aren't you? So you need a tuner for that projector.
Exactly. Do you need to suggest for that?
No, it doesn't. These are all commodity products at this point, and they should be fairly cheap, too. Let me go to Amazon and you know, look for a tuner TV. Analog TV tuner is what you would search for. Here's a $39.99 from Sabrent. Here's a Mediasonic Homeworks. Yeah, you don't need that. That's $32. You were talking nothing. We're talking nothing. So I think anything you could plug into. What you really want to find out, if you can, is what's on that cable. It's clear QAM or something else. Because you'll need to get a box that you can that tuner will work with. So you need to do some research. The school must at some point tell you somewhere in some piece of paper what you got there. You know what you should look? They must have information for incoming freshmen on TVs they can bring to the dorm. We have, hey, good news, we have a cable system in here. But you must have this or this or this. It's not HD on your TV, is it?
No, I don't believe so. I'm pretty sure it'll work with any TV. They never set any restrictions on it.
Yeah. See, it's not clear QAM. It's just some junky analog. We're actually going to be on a camp. You might be able to get our shows on your system. We're going to be on a lot of campus systems, I think. So, let me do some research and find out for you. We'll put this in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
If you don't have any HD on it, they're still running, you know, old school NTSC, which is certainly the cheapest solution. Somebody said, get an old VCR that has a tuner. You know what? That would be really cheap. A VCR, you're not going to, I'm not saying use it for recording, but the VCR would have a coax plug-in that would have the right kind of tuner, and then it would have S-Video out. It would have exactly what you want. And man, an old VCR probably cost you less than $30. The real issue, though, is getting something that's going to match what the school is providing you. This is not uncommon. A lot of dorms, this is what you get. They have their own, basically their own cable system. And it's probably an old physical plant, and they've been doing it a long time. And they probably don't bother upgrading it because they don't want you watching TV. You're there to study. But you, I know what you're up to. You want a projector for the Super Bowl tomorrow. I understand. Tomorrow's a big TV buying day. Actually, today is the big TV buying day. Tomorrow, it's too late. Sorry, today is the big TV buying day. Scott Wilkinson told us last week this is the biggest week of the year. He's going to join us in a few minutes. We can ask him for some advice and maybe some suggestions for watching the Super Bowl. It's going to be the most interesting, at least from a broadcast point of view, Super Bowl ever. They are using 5K cameras. They are almost doubling the number of cameras on the, I think, 70 cameras on the field, including an array of 360-degree cameras around the rim of Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara that will allow them to capture any angle on the field at all and do bullet time. Expect to see some bullet time. Remember that from The Matrix tomorrow, because they'll have that capability and the pylon cams and all of that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott, it's coming up. Home theater right after this. Hey, our show today brought to you by PillPack. Let me show you. This is such a great idea. If you take medication or somebody in your family takes medication, you ought to know about PillPack. PillPack.com, PillPack.com. The idea, it's an online pharmacy, okay, but they have a better way of delivering your meds to you in a pill pack. These pills are packed by robots into little plastic pouches with the date, the time, the dosing, everything you need to know on it. There's never any question about, did I take my meds today? Did I take my vitamins today? It's all handled for you. You don't have to do pill boxes. You don't have to. And if you have a person in the family who's on medication and forgets, this is a great solution. Easy to transfer your prescriptions over. There is no extra cost beside your, you know, standard copay. Shipping's always free. Compatible with almost all the major insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. And when you sign up, they'll make sure that it's compatible. By the way, it's not just pills, of course. It's a standard pharmacy, so they do everything. But the pills get put in the pill pack. There's even a list on the box that contains the name of each pill, a picture of it, so you know what it looks like, and dosing information. They'll work with your doctor to handle refills automatically, which is fantastic. Time Magazine picked it as their one of their top 25 inventions of 2015. It's just brilliant, and it's all shipped to you free of charge. There's even a pill pack medication reminder for the iPhone and the Apple Watch. And by the way, this is a great pharmacy. There's a pharmacist on call 24/7, so if you have any questions, call anytime. They pre-sort and deliver your medications in these easy-to-tear packets. And they use computer imaging technology plus the oversight of a pharmacist to make sure that you get exactly the right dose and the right pill. And I tell you what, they do a better job of it than any pharmacy can. It was founded by a second-generation pharmacist who wanted to use the technology, fix the pharmacy, and give a better customer experience, and they are doing it. I love my PillPack. You will, too. Visit PillPack.com/twit. You can sign up now. It's very easy. They make it very easy to transfer your prescriptions over. And when you do that, by the way, you'll get a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counter medications, kind of as a thank you. It's really, really cool. PillPack.com/twit. And if you've, you know, if you're not on medication, but you have an elder, maybe who, you know, an elderly parent, who forgets and you want to make sure, Mom, did you take your meds today? This is such a good solution. She will love it. And she loves it. She can call the pharmacist and talk to them, and they're great. They're really sweet. They're kind of geeky, okay, I admit, but they're super smart. And look at this. They donate $100 when you refer somebody to RX Art. A good charity. Isn't that nice? I love it. PillPack.com/twit. I got my VIN for my Model X, which means it's heading to production sometime soon. According to Forbes, it's unbuildable. Yeah, but this is the guy from Chevy. You know, I'd expect the guy from Chevy.
Tesla's business model is upside down. Their costs have been higher than their revenue.
He doesn't understand a thing about what Tesla's up to. The car is excellent. The business has always been lousy. He doesn't really understand what Elon knows that. Elon's willing to lose money because he wants to build the Model 3 next year. And if Chevy thinks their Bolt is going to be the killer app, wait till Tesla comes into the market. This is what the auto industry's been saying about Tesla all along. Because you know what? He's a threat. Hey, Scott Wilkinson.
Hey, Leo Laporte.
How are ya?
Doing good.
So
all
excited.
All is well.
So excited. We got a big Super Bowl tomorrow.
Oh, man. What are you going to be watching on your big Panasonic?
Yeah, it'll be on the Viera, yeah. Because that's the living room TV. I like to go watch my little den on my smaller OLED.
That'll look mighty fine.
It's nice because the den's dark, and when I, you know, and I'm close, so I don't care that I'm, you know, the Viera's in a big room, so it's
in a really big room, as I recall.
Yeah.
But it's the biggest TV you've got, as I recall.
It's a 70-inch, so it's as big as it gets, yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I will be working. We're going to start Twit early tomorrow at 2, but I'll still be working for during the beginning of the game. We'll probably be done
man.
Around 4. That's all right. I'm fine with that. I don't mind.
You can DVR it and then, you know.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I will DVR it. Thanks for reminding me.
I'm going to DVR it myself only for the halftime show. I don't care about the game whatsoever.
Who's the halftime show this year?
Oh, it's Coldplay and Rihanna, maybe Beyonce, one of those single name
Left
women.
Shark.
But more to the point is the L.A. Youth Orchestra.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why you want to do it.
I want to see that.
Yeah. Coldplay. Who chose Coldplay?
I don't know.
Talk about cold career. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, he's here. Scott Wilkinson, very appropriate. I bet you today is the single biggest day of the year for television buying.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. Yep. All these panicky people saying, oh, my gosh, they're coming over. They're coming over for the Super Bowl. I better have a nice TV.
Yeah.
Did you hear our last call? Are you up on the standards? You probably don't have to worry about stuff like what kind of signal of dorm rooms offering is it.
I was listening in, and it is, you know, you're exactly right. He needs to find out whether it's analog or digital.
Yeah.
One wouldn't be surprised if it's analog, if it's old school. But he also needs a tuner because he's going from a TV, which has a tuner in it, to a projector, which doesn't.
I'm just looking to see if Amazon still sell VCRs?
Oh, that's a good question.
No.
I bet you they do.
Here's one. Well, that's expensive.
I'm pretty sure Magnavox still makes them.
A Panasonic VCR with OmniVision and Hi-Fi stereo. Used. That's used. I'm not seeing any new ones. Let's see. Used. Here's a Funai combination VCR and DVD recorder for $172. He doesn't want that. I think you're going to go to eBay.
Yeah.
And you're going to get somebody's old VCR because you don't even care if it records.
Right. You don't care about the tape or anything.
The circuitry that'll never wear out. And you should probably pay $5-$10. Go to a garage sale.
There you go.
That's probably all you need. I'm guessing, but
But again, whether or not it's analog or digital or what coming out of that coax
cable. If he buys a cheap VCR and it doesn't work, you know, like a $10 VCR, it doesn't work.
Well, yeah,
out much.
Who cares? Yeah, right. Right. Totally agree.
And it'll work. Because I'm sure the school hasn't updated their physical plan.
Yeah, right.
Should have asked him what school he's going to.
Yeah, that would have been a question, definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, we put on AVS Forum, we just put up an article called 10 Terrific TVs for Super Bowl Sunday. So.
And what are the prices we're talking about here?
Oh, anything from 1,000 up to many thousands.
I look, though, at the big box stores, and I see plenty of TVs for under, you know, for $500-$600, even less.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that's true. That's true. I always recommend steering away from what are called the captive brands or the house brands. You know, the Element, the Scepter, the Insignia.
Those are big box house brands, aren't they?
Who does
Element?
I think it's Best Buy, but I'm not 100% sure.
And then Insignia is Costco, I think.
I don't remember exactly.
Get the name brand. You're saying get Vizio or Samsung or Sharp.
Or Sony or Sharp. Any of those. LG.
Yeah. All of those are good. And I'm sure that, you know, especially Vizio, they have some low price. I like the software in the Vizio. That's one of the reasons I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's the, you recommend on AVS Forum an LG 55-inch UHD TV. Wow, for $700 on sale at Walmart and Best Buy. See, that's good enough. That's a good price.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's not huge. I mean,
it's not huge, and certainly for the Super Bowl, if you're having a party in particular, you want as large a screen as you can get. And if you're getting an LCD TV, which is most likely, not an OLED, then you want one. And this may be a little difficult to determine whether you want one that has the type of LCD panel called IPS. There are two basic types of LCD panels, IPS and VA. IPS gives you a wider viewing angle.
Okay. And the VA, you do want, right? So everybody can see it.
Right. So everybody can see a reasonable quality picture.
Best Buy is Insignia. Element actually is not a house brand, but just a cheap Chinese brand.
Oh, okay. All right.
Chat room's telling me they're good. They know this stuff.
They do know this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, Scepter might be a Best Buy brand as well. Okay. I seem to remember seeing it there.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway.
Isn't Monday the most returned TV day of the year? I'm guessing. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it could be. I don't actually know. That's a very good question, though.
Boy, you know, you're going to get the stink eye from a salesman if you buy it on Saturday, return it on Monday. Everybody knows what you're up to. You're not fooling anyone.
You're not fooling anybody. That's right. And besides which, it's a big pain in the you-know-what to unpack a TV and set it up and get it ready to go. And then pack it back up?
Yeah.
and ship it back to
There's no reason to buy an Ultra HD TV for this experience because the Super Bowl is in 1080i. It's not even P. Would you explain what is the difference between 1080i and P, and what am I going to get on my screen?
Oh, well, that's a very good question. 1080i, 1080 refers to the number of pixels vertically, up and down, from top to bottom. The I refers to a process called interlacing. And what that does is the camera captures each frame of the video consists of two half frames or fields. And the lines of these frames are interlaced, hence the name interlaced. And you get one set of lines and then the other set of lines and then one set of lines, the other set of lines. And the problem with sports is that that's not so good for fast action. For things flying through the air.
ESPN does its high-def 720 progressive.
720p. Now, it's slightly less resolution, slightly less, fewer pixels on the screen.
Well, you're not going to see interlaced on an HD TV, but you can't do interlacing, right?
No. It will de-interlace the signal. That's correct. But if the ball, say, is in the air and it's moving really fast, the camera is going to catch it at one point during one field and another point slightly different in the other field, and those two fields are going to get stitched together.
That means you get
and
a blurry
ball. So the
ball
is going to look exactly.
Blurry ball.
You don't want blurry balls, that's for
no.
sure.
No. So, but we're stuck with that because that's how CBS does it.
That's how CBS does it. There's no way around it. Nope. So you can, in fact, my colleague Mark Henninger has recommended that you can, with an LCD TV, turn on this thing called frame interpolation, which actually sharpens up things in motion. Now, it doesn't really sharpen the inherent blurriness of interlacing, but it can improve things a little bit. It does create what's called the soap opera effect, but that's more evident on movies that shot at 24 frames per second than it is on live TV, which is shot at 30 frames per second.
So you really, the soap opera effect, which I've always hated and all that,
yeah,
is
yeah.
fine for sports. You want it as crisp
it's really not bad. No, yeah. that's correct. That's yeah. correct. So you do want to turn it on at least a little bit for like something like the Super Bowl.
The problem is it's got a different name in every brand.
I know. It's so terrible.
Technically, it's frame interpolation.
That is the generic
term. You're looking for something that – because the normal progressive video is 60p, 60
Correct.
Frames a second. So you're looking for 120, so double of that or quadruple
and
of that.
Therefore, you really want an LCD TV with 120 hertz refresh rate.
Or 240, some of them.
Or 240, even better. Right.
Yeah.
But you need the faster processing and refresh rate in order to be able to interpolate frames and have the TV create new frames in between the real ones.
Now, normally they shoot these games with cameras that do 1080i. They're the same. But this time.
Correct.
They are doing it in 5K.
I know.
But we get no benefit at all because it's just going to convert it to 1080i.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's,
got that
that's
right.
That's sad. Somewhere there is a television engineer weeping.
Many, I'm sure.
Many going, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I do.
Man, though, if they're archiving it, I mean, I guess it's not really that important to watch, you know, old Super Bowls.
Yeah,
but if they're archiving it,
they could archive
you know,
it
then
that way.
Yeah. They could put it out on 4K Blu-ray
someday. Blu-ray version of the Broncos
of
versus
the Super Bowl
the Panthers.
50.
Super
That's
Bowl 50.
Right.
Scott Wilkinson is at the AVS Forum. He's the editor in chief there. He also hosts a great podcast on this stuff, like deep dive on this stuff, called the Home Theater Geeks Podcast at twit.tv/htg, avsforum.com online. Hey, thank you, Scott. We'll talk again next week.
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. What's the puppy bowl in? Is that 1080i or do they do that in 1080p?
Well, you know, it's on Animal Planet, and I don't know.
I assume
they broadcast a 1080i.
Yeah, everybody. That's what's unusual about ESPN is that
ESPN
chose wisely.
ABC and Fox all do 720p.
Right, right.
But almost everybody else does 1080i.
Oh, I didn't know that. ABC, well, ESPN is owned by ABC.
Is owned by ABC.
Fox,
so yeah.
Interesting, huh?
Yep, Fox also. Huh.
Well, they do a lot of football. So in theory, football should look better on Fox than it will on CBS.
Yeah, yeah. In theory, it should.
Interesting.
But you're right. I'm not going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'm going to be taping it so I can, or recording it so I can see the halftime show and maybe some commercials. But otherwise, I'm going to be watching the Puppy Bowl. It's so cute.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's
no,
hilarious.
It's not.
With
it's
the halftime show with Katy Perry.
Oh, Lord. It's just a bunch of dogs gnawing on. I could see that at my place where I
dropped
at the we dropped the baby's dog sitting place. They have a little online camera. You can watch them do their thing. Silly. All right, I give you the con here for the next 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Web 7258, my cable company broadcasts CBS in 720p? Really? I have never heard of that before. I can't imagine that's true. What cable company is it, Web 7258? I would definitely want to check that out, because that is very strange if they are doing that. By the way, I had my little timer on there, so let's see. Yes, Great Danes are kind of cute, at least puppies. Straight-laced or interlaced. Waikiki Guru, exactly right. Web 4782 agrees, Puppy Bowl is the best. What res is CBS streaming the Super Bowl? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Bass Drum, it's at CES. Did you ask LG if they fixed their uniformity issues on their OLED TVs? The answer is they said yes. They said that that has been fixed. In fact, it was fixed in late manufactured 2015 models as well. Now, I'm waiting for a G6 or an E6 OLED to review, so I will be able to say for my own self whether or not it is that problem has really been fixed. I sure hope so. Creamy Corn Cob, do I still recommend Hisense panels? Yes, I do, actually. What I saw at CES was pretty impressive. Now, whether or not you can find them easily in the U.S. is still an open question. I think it's easier to find TCL. I've seen TCL TVs in Costco. I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing Hisense. I'll have to go and sort of wander the TV aisles and see. But yes, Web 7063, $300 TV from TLC, actually TCL. TCL is pretty good. I haven't seen their very low-end models. They're super entry-level, like $300, as you say here. Of course, if that's for a teeny tiny TV, then maybe it's okay. But, you know, for a 65-inch or a 70-inch, that would probably not be very good. Bass Drum, I wonder if I can get
TCL TVs in here. They're terrible.
Oh, are they really?
Right, John? The color, I look red. The color is awful.
Have you tried to set the picture controls?
We've tried. There's nothing you can do about it. There's
nothing you can do about it. Okay.
Do not recommend.
All right. All right.
Well, they're variations, different models. That's enough reason to not buy it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean the consistency isn't good?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
All right. Thank you, Scott. You can stick around for the top?
You bet. Happy to.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Of course, CBS is going to be streaming on your desktop, on your internet, the Super Bowl tomorrow. I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there knows. Are they going to stream their broadcast version? Will they have all the commercials? A lot of times they don't, because the companies that buy those $1.5 million, actually it's more than that now, I'm showing my age, commercials on the Super Bowl don't pay for the internet stuff. What? You got to pay more for that? Oh, nobody's going to watch it on the internet. So you'll be able to watch it on your computer at cbssports.com. If you have a CBS Sports app on your Xbox One or your Apple TV or your Amazon Fire TV or your Android TV or your Chromecast or your Roku, you can watch it there too. However, in order to watch it on a mobile device like your smartphone, you've got to have Verizon. And once again, Verizon has an exclusive on that. They did that last couple of Super Bowls. But I think this is the first time that they've freely and openly streaming the Super Bowl. CR1 in the chat room says, yes, they will stream the ads. That's all I care about. I mean, I care about the game, obviously. I'm a football fan. But I've watched the Super Bowl without the ads. If you see it, if I was overseas a couple of years ago for the Super Bowl, and they stream it, but they don't or broadcast it, but they don't broadcast the U.S. ads. And it's just, it's not the same extravaganza. Really, the ads add to the fun of it, don't they? So, streaming is available, although I don't know if it's a higher quality, frankly. I don't know if it's a higher quality. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Back to the phones we go, and Jane is on the line from Manhattan Beach, California. Hi, Jane.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Yes. I have a tech that said for my PC that I should use weekly maintenance of desk cleanup, cleaner, and defragger, and then do Windows updates.
Get a new tech.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm glad you gave me some info.
There. Yeah. Get a new tech. That guy is living in the 80s.
Oh.
So first of all, you don't need to defrag anymore. Modern operating systems, I presume you're not using Windows 95 or 98.
Oh, correct.
Modern operating systems don't require defragmentation. They handle that, as they should have in the early days, but they were so primitive that they didn't. So don't worry about that. In fact, you can overdo these things without any benefit at all. You're exercising the disk. You're working it pretty hard without any benefit at all. It makes OCD people feel good. Oh, everything's in the nice position. The other thing is, in many computers now, we have solid state drives, which in which the word defragmentation is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
So don't defrag. What's the cleanup program he recommended? Generally speaking, I don't recommend these either.
It's disk cleanup and C cleaner.
Did he sell you this?
No, okay. It was a free installation he did.
Please get rid of that stuff.
Okay.
It's not bad. CCleaner is a registry editor, registry cleaner. The theory being Microsoft made a horrific decision many moons ago when they decided to store settings for programs in a giant ball of a file called the registry. It's horrible. It's vulnerable. It's, you know, can grow too big. It's all sorts of problems. But nothing can clean it without a great risk of making your computer unbootable. So, you know, because no software, it's risky. So any program like CCleaner is going to be very judicious about what it does. In other words, it's not going to do much at all. Admittedly, there are good things to do, but the risk of making an unbootable system is so high that just, you know, they err as they should on the side of caution, meaning it's useless. So don't do that. Well, I don't know anything about the disk cleanup. It probably deletes temp files. Windows does all of this, by the way, perfectly well. The Windows Update, similar. You don't need to go to Windows Update. Windows updates itself automatically.
And that's something you just mentioned about Windows 10 being...
There is another story. You're gonna. What Windows are you using?
7.
Yeah, well, you may someday. So the way Windows by default is set up is to install critical updates. That's really important. Those are security updates.
Yes.
And you never should turn that off. You should let that do that. There will guarantee be at least an update every second Tuesday of the month. And if there's something really horrific, there'll be another one, you know, on demand. But when Microsoft tries to keep it to once a month, not once a week, once a month. The recommended updates are going to become problematic because Microsoft has announced we're going to start making Windows 10 a recommended update for Windows 7 and 8 users. Now, it's free, but you're going to wake up one day and suddenly you're not using Windows 7. You're using Windows 10. I don't think that's a bad thing.
For me, it's bad.
Okay.
It's compatible with the software that I run.
Well, then it would be bad. So yeah. Here's what you're going to have to do, and this is what the moron tech should have told you, is go into the Windows Update settings and keep critical updates automatic, but do turn off automatic updates of recommended. In other words, change the level of updates. Do not do automatic recommended because you don't want it to be suddenly Windows 10 someday.
Right.
You should, you know, periodically look at the recommended updates because sometimes, most of the time, there are things like driver updates that you do want. So this means that manually you're going to have to it doesn't have to be often, but, you know, every month, a few months or so, just check and just see if there's any recommended updates that you'd like. They are not bug fixes or security updates. They are you know, updated software, generally. So your tech is wrong.
And I'm so glad you set me right.
Your tech, as is many people, is just working off kind of a script that he's probably been doing for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
The older guy?
Over 60?
He's my age. So we've been around. And we remember the days when you did that. You had to make sure you deleted temp files because Windows didn't do it. Windows was so, you know, feeble that it didn't do this stuff. But now any modern operating system, OS X, Windows, even Linux, defrags automatically. It's not an issue. Okay?
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And I this is a big one, this recommended update. And I'm surprised Microsoft's not getting more heat for this. I think because it hasn't started, so people don't know. Get ready, because when it starts and you wake up and you've been using Windows 7 and all of a sudden you're using Windows 10 and Windows Media Center, if you use that's gone. Software that didn't work, doesn't work with Windows 10, stops working. This is not good. This is not good. And I'm just kind of shocked that Microsoft's even contemplating this. This is how driven they are to getting everybody onto the Windows 10 platform. And it's in their interest because then developers will write for Windows 10. You know, everything moves along. And once they get you on Windows 10, it's going to be, you know, it is better. And if you don't have a reason not to go to Windows 10, I would go to Windows 10. I would accept what Microsoft's about to do. The problem is that there are people legitimately who have reasons not to. And for them, this is not going to be a desirable outcome. And we're going to hear about it. I'm going to hear about it. I'm going to hear about it next week. All right, Armando, hang in there. Rick is in Torrance. He wants to know about Google Fi. Google Fi, their phone service. I can tell you about that. Sandy in Orange wants to know about tickets. It's all coming up next with Leo Laporte. Stay here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Dueling Tubas, I give you Scott. Wait a minute, that's not it. There it is, Scott Wilkinson.
There it is.
Home
Yay!
Theater guru.
And with the timer in the window, at which I very much love and appreciate. I had my little timer on during the segment just to make sure I knew exactly how much time I had left.
Thank you. It worked out perfectly.
It did, and I had it in my little teleprompter thing here, and it was backwards because it's in a mirror. But the screen goes yellow at 1 minute and red at zero, so I was able to keep track of things. So I'm going to keep doing that. So anyway, yeah, hey, chat room. Happy to see you and be with you as always. UJ made a great point that the Samsung UBD K8500 Ultra HD Blu-ray player went on sale yesterday at the store here in LA.
This is the new one?
The new Ultra HD.
New
Ultra HD, the first Ultra HD Blu-ray player went on sale at Audio and Video Center in LA and clearly other places too, but they had a big launch event last night that unfortunately I couldn't go to, but it was there and it's now on sale. It's $400 or $500, which is a lot for a Blu-ray player these days, but as I've said before, only half as much as the first Blu-ray player was. The very first Blu-ray player that came out was also a Samsung, and it was $1,000 when it first launched, and this one is half that or less. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And so I'm very happy about that. I'm going to be getting that and using it with a 4K TV, particularly a high dynamic range, HDR 4K TV. And I'm actually, next week, I should have it ready to post a list of all the high dynamic range capable TVs that are now or soon to be available. And that includes some 2015 models as well from Sony, LG, and certainly Samsung. But we've got a few more now. Certainly all of Samsung's TVs are, all of LG's OLEDs, and their high, and their 2016 LCD TVs are HDR compatible or capable as well. Panasonic's got a few. So we are entering the era of high dynamic range. And I got an interesting email from someone who said, would high dynamic range, when are we going to see that in live broadcast? Like, for example, the Super Bowl. Because he said last summer he was watching baseball and there were parts of the image that were properly exposed and there were parts that were just dim and dark and you couldn't see anything. And there were parts that were blown out. And that's the problem with standard dynamic range. And if you shoot in high dynamic range and show it in high dynamic range, all of those different parts of the scene will be properly exposed. You'll be able to see them. They won't be all washed out or dimmed out in dark areas. So, but when will that be in broadcast? I think it's going to be at least a couple of years. It depends on an organization called the Advanced Television Systems Committee, or ATSC. And they're now working on the broadcast standard for 4K, or UHD, which will include high dynamic range and immersive sound, for that matter, overhead sound, 3D sound field, like Dolby Atmos. It won't be maybe Dolby Atmos. Dolby is one of the contenders for the audio system with their codec called AC4. The other contender is MPEG-H, which is related to all the other MPEGs out there, developed by an organization in Germany called Fraunhofer. Anyway, they're not done with that spec yet. They're not done with the specification for broadcast UHD. And I don't think they will be we're not going to really see anything for a couple of years. Korea is hoping to get enough infrastructure assembled to do the Olympics in 2018. Apparently, the Winter Olympics are going to be in Korea, and they're planning to broadcast it in UHD. Now, whether or not that broadcast will be available anywhere other than Korea, I don't know. But it's going to be one of the first times that something live will be broadcast in UHD. And so I'm hoping that they make it, because that would be a really good test bed, especially since it's sports. It's going to be broadcast progressive, I'm sure, not this interlace thing I was talking about earlier. So it should look really good. It should look really good. So let's see if I got any questions in the chat room here. Echo asks, have I seen any UHD players in stores yet? No. I didn't go down to the audio and video center thing last night. I learned about it too late, and Friday afternoon traffic in L.A. from my house to Santa Monica on the 405. Anybody who lives here in L.A. knows what that's like. It wasn't going to happen. But I'm going to go when I can to see it for sure. Let's see. Waikiki Guru, I'm counting on Google Play Movies updating my 1080p HD purchased movies to 4K HDR at reduced cost someday so I don't have to buy my movies for a third time. Yeah, well, good luck with that. I hope it's true. Of course, Google wants to make their money, so I'm not sure that that's going to be what they do, but I would certainly wish for that as well. Bass Drum is asking, if I'm out of my return window, I wonder if I can get my LG TV exchanged for a newer model. Does it have that screen uniformity problem? Is it one of the OLEDs? Because if so, they might. I don't remember exactly what their return policy is on that, because you'll need a new TV. It's not something that can be fixed with software or firmware. It's actually a hardware problem. So I would certainly go back to them for that. Let's see. Rusty Bones, didn't I interview someone who said that HDR is capable now in HD broadcast? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not that I know of. Would we get a better image quality watching a stream as opposed to CBS? I don't think so. And the reason is that the stream will be much more highly compressed. So they'll be taking a lot more data out of it. And so while you may not see interlace artifacts, you will certainly see compression artifacts. And I think those will probably, I'm only saying probably, be more pronounced, more evident than interlaced artifacts. You know, this kind of smearing of the football that we were talking about earlier. So that's, I would say probably not. I would think the stream probably won't be as good. Baba says, BT broadcast UHD football in the UK. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. I'll have to look into that. BT, I don't know what BT is. Lawn Dog, will TV broadcasters invest in 1080 upscaling to 4K? That's a good question. Will they do that? They probably will at some point, but that's another problem. They just spent a bunch of money to upgrade to digital less than 10 years ago. Now they're going to be asked to upgrade again to 4K. That's going to be very expensive, and eventually it'll happen, but it's another reason why 4K broadcasting isn't going to be common anytime in the immediate future.
All right, Scott. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, hard drives, defragmentation, home theater, big screen TVs, smartphones, smart watches, you know, all that stuff. Digital photography, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. You can't see it at home because it's the radio, but I'm holding up every object I talk about here. You should see me lifting that 70-inch screen. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. You can also visit our website. It's free. There's no sign-up. And it is a great resource because everything I talk about, everything we talk about is there. All the answers, audio and video of the show after the fact. Yeah, we do video, too, for, well, so you can see me lifting those 70-inch screens. We also have comments. And I really appreciate it. People adding their thoughts, you know, instead of shouting at the radio, Leo, you're wrong. If you say, no, Sea Cleaner is the best thing ever, you could put that in the comments, which is nice. People, you know, everybody gets a voice. And because there's no sign up, it's democratic. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website, again, is techguylabs.com. That's the thing to remember. That way you don't have to remember anything else. Now, poor Armando, we had to put him on hold. Because we got the news. Hi, Armando. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks for your patience.
Okay.
What can I do for you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a color printer and also something that does black and white. And I'll tell you what cameras I'm using, which I think are pretty good. But I'm not getting the quality of prints out of my current printer. But I have a Panasonic Lumix, which is a DMC's
great camera.
S40. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the issue is that a good photo printer is not a good text printer. So you almost need two different printers to do that right.
Okay, I'm game for that. Okay, because the current printer that I have is a 3-in-1, and for general purpose, I can keep that one.
Yeah,
because
the text is fine on that. But what you're seeing is washed out prints of the photos. Yeah,
exactly.
That's always the case. So there are printers that do double duty, and one way you can improve your printer, and your printer might be good. What is the printer you have right now?
It's an HP Office Jet Pro 8600.
Okay. The word office is telling you right now why it's not a good photo printer.
Gotcha.
It's a text printer.
Okay, gotcha.
A photo printer, any printer can print color. Any color printer can print photos, I should say. But they'll look better if you get photo printing paper. But you have to get the paper that's right for that printer. In that case, I don't know if there's a photo printing paper for an office jet because it's for the office. So what I would look for is a photo printer, a printer that's designed for photo. It's more expensive because they're inkjet, but they're going to use better paper. It could be glossy or matte. Just like, remember when you got when you printed photos, you'd have the choice of glossy or matte and different sizes. Well, that's the paper, and that choice still exists. And that's a great thing. For years, I've used both Canon and Epson photo printers, and both do very well. Epson's a sponsor. Most of the pros I know, in fact, use Epson printers. But Canon also does excellent. The Pixmas are excellent photo printers. There's another level up of photo printers that are dye sublimation or they're strange shapes because they only do 5x7s. I wouldn't get that. I'd get a kind of a general purpose photo printer. It turns out HP does sell photo paper for the office jets. Three colors plus black. That's, yeah, see, that's not what you want. You want a photo printer that prints CYMK. It should have probably four color cartridges plus a black cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
At least three color cartridges plus a black cartridge. That's CYMK.
Okay.
But often they have more. They have the photo printers I've used will have a light C and a dark C. That's cyan. A light magenta, dark magenta, and a light yellow, dark yellow plus a black. So that's a total of seven cartridges. That's pretty typical on photo printers.
Okay. Can you recommend a particular model?
I like the Canon Pixmas, PIXMA. Those are excellent, and the Pix tells you that they're designed for photos, although they will also do black and white. And then Epson, I'm being judicious because they are a sponsor.
Okay.
So I don't want to sound like I'm flogging them.
Okay.
At the same time, they really are the best photo printers. Most of the photographers I know use Epson photo printers. They make the best black and white printers. You're probably not doing black and white. But black and white is very hard to do, and so they have really mastered that. So if you were doing black and white, then there'd be no question, I'd say, go with an Epson. But they have the Epson Expressions, the Perfections. Actually, Perfections are scanners. The Artisans. I like the Epson Artisans. I've had those for a long time, and they do really a great job. And that would be kind of a dedicated photo printer.
Okay, that's the Epson Artisans?
Yeah, Artisan. And then the nice thing about Epson is they offer a very wide range of paper.
Okay.
Glossy, you can get 8.5x11, 8x10s. You can make, the standard, 5x7s or 4. You have a lot of choices, and that's nice, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. So, yeah, eight colors is a good idea. HP does these as well. But my favorites are the Canon Pixma and the Epson Artisan printers. Cost per page is an issue, and they tend to be more expensive. But again, that's okay because you're not printing 1,000 photos. What you want is just the right image, you know. And I used to do all my own printing on an Epson printer, and I really, really loved doing that. But now it's so much more convenient just to have them sent out. So when I have them printed, I send them out. 8888 to Ask Leo. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Sandy in Orange County. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Leo. I'm hoping you can help. When looking online to purchase anything from airline tickets to rental cars, I had noticed that when I go back to the same site, like even minutes later, that the price can be different.
Yes.
And a friend told me it's because sites are following my behavior.
That's exactly right.
And to try from another browser like Safari or...
Well, there's an easier whatever. Way to do it.
Okay.
You can stay in the same browser. What they do is they save cookies on your browser that say, hey, she's been here before. She's been looking at this flight. Let's raise the price.
Right.
How annoying is that? So do that in incognito mode. It's a little less convenient because you have to, re-enter your information. It doesn't remember your information. But that's how you avoid that kind of thing. So every browser has a anonymous or incognito mode. And it'll be somewhere in the on Chrome, it's called Incognito, and it's under the File menu. It's just New Incognito window. You're using Safari?
I'm using Internet Explorer.
I don't know what Internet Explorer calls it. That's a good question. Sometimes they call it Safari calls it private mode. You're going to look for a private way to surf. And what that really means is don't save any information from this site. Now, if you notice the behavior is continuing, you might have to go in and clear your cookies. And that's also in the browser settings. You can clear cookies. But that has a negative side effect because a lot of times you do want the site to remember you and say, oh, yeah, let me log you in again or let me fill in those search terms.
Is that also the reason, like, if I go online a couple days later, an ad will pop up for something
yes.
I looked at 2 days ago?
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's a little bit of a different system. It's also cookies. What you have is an identifier that is saved on, and incognito does not use that, or private mode surfing does not use that. But if you have an identifier on your system, you can be tracked. So the scenario is I go and I buy something on Amazon, or I go and I look at a page because I'm interested in buying this. Actually, you know what? I'm going to run out of time. You don't have to hang on, but keep listening because I'll explain. This is actually a very good subject. Everybody should understand how this works. How is it that they know when you buy adult diapers, they keep offering you adult diapers for, you know, all the time? How is that? How do they know that? Well, it's not very complicated. I'll explain when we come back.
This is huge.
It is huge. It's the new Epson EcoTank printers. I'm talking to myself again. I'm a big fan, as you know. We bought, we've been an Epson family forever. I mean, I used Epson, as I mentioned earlier on the show, to print my photos for years. The best photo printers, the best inkjet printers, the best laser printers. I've been using Epson laser printers as well. But now Epson has done something just kind of changes everything. On their new EcoTank printers, they don't use cartridges. They use tanks. They come with the ink in the box, the equivalent of about 50 cartridges worth of ink in the box, the EcoTank printers. And you put it, when you, we run out of ink after 2 years, thereabouts, you go out and you buy these inexpensive bottles. It really is a low-cost, economical way to do inkjet printing. And you're not making any sacrifices because these are the great Epson Precision Core engines that are so good. I mean, just crisp, laser-quality black text. I've had Precision Core for years. And now this EcoTank just makes it all the better. Auto two-sided printing, no warm-up time, 30-page auto document feeder. They print wirelessly. They're, you know, that you can get the all-in-one, so they include copying, scanning, and printing. And wireless printing, too, which means they work on your Wi-Fi, but they also work with your tablet and your phone. They support all the protocols. You can scan to the cloud. I mean, there's so many nice features. And now, you'll save money on ink, too. Epson's EcoTank. They've got printers for every possible use, including giant workgroup printers, or the one we got, the ET4550, which is perfect for a home. Epson EcoTank printers. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank. Epson. Exceed your vision. Error 53. This is annoying. Apple says notices if you have a third party repairing your phone. Oh, my goodness. If the handset, which has, and this is Apple's excuse as well, Touch ID has to be kept secure. So if somebody non-Apple repairs your phone, once iOS 9 is installed, oh my goodness, it will brick your phone. Wow. Wow. That's shocking, really. I think Apple's excuse will be that we protect, you know, the fingerprint reader, we can't protect you if somebody messes with your fingerprint reader, so we're just going to brick your phone. Wow. That is quite a story. You know, we really, we're starting to live in a world where the people who manufacture our computer systems are asserting their right to continue ownership. Well, no, you might not know. They could put in a third-party fingerprint reader that was, I mean, in theory, phoning home. I think they're both egregious. Both Microsoft and Apple's behavior. I put Linux Mint on my Dell because I'm just like, okay. And you know, Linux Mint is so good you don't miss Windows. You just don't miss it. Yeah, I'm sure Echo, that's exactly why Apple's doing it. But this is from The Guardian. Error 53 Fury here. You know what? I have the link. I'll give you the link. How about that? I have the technology. You know, Samsung does a similar thing with their Secure Store. If you put new firmware on your Samsung, it's no longer Knox doesn't work. But that's different than bricking it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. We're talking about a kind of an interesting area of the internet. And the phrase, the generic phrase that you'll see people use is ad tech or advertising technology. And we're in a little bit of a war between users and the ad tech companies. Ad tech companies use technologies, internet technologies, software technologies, to try to customize advertising. They actually have several goals. One is to get you to see the advertising because banner ads and so forth, we know, I know, you don't see them, do you? We've now tuned our eyeballs to just to skip right over them. So that's why more and more of them are jumping, shaking, and putting ugly pictures or weird pictures in. They're trying to get your attention. They're also doing things like taking over the page and forcing you to see the ad and, you know, close it, and then they move the X all over, right, before you can go on. Things like that. That's ad tech. But ad tech is also, in a kind of a more surreptitious way, monitoring your behavior. And the point of that is to give you ads for things you're going to buy. The problem is it does such a bad job. I don't think, you know, in theory, I think it's not a bad thing. If I am, you know, searching used car sites and dealerships and the ad tech notices that and starts putting more ads for cars in my feed, that's not necessarily a bad thing if I really am in the market for a car. If I'm not in the market for a car and it does that, it's annoying. It also is creepy in a way, right? And I think that's, I want to eliminate the creepy part because it's all automated. There's no human doing it. And creepy implies a human agency, right? Things aren't creepy if it's just an automatic process. But people think it's creepy because they say, well, somebody's watching me and doing it. But no, nobody's watching you. It's just all automated systems. So I don't think I don't hold with the creepy part of it. I understand if it makes you feel creepy, it's creepy. But more to the point, it's annoying, I think. So how do they do it? Well, there are a variety of methods, the chief of which is they have to identify you. And there's different ways to do that. The primitive early way was with a cookie, which is cookies are a good thing. It was invented by Netscape. They call them cookies because to call them persistent client-side state objects is a little bit annoying, a little bit long and unclear. But that's what they are. The idea is that the browser can save information about your previous surfing. Oh, yeah, she's been to this site before. She left off at page 63. He's logged in, so let's keep him logged in for a while. When you go to Facebook, you don't have to enter the password each time. And the reason you don't is because Facebook saves a cookie. They call it a token, same idea. Saves a little piece of information on your system, on your hard drive, that says, you're you. And then that token, when you go to Facebook.com, it checks and says, oh, yes, he's logged in already. Keep him logged in. That's that little checkbox, keep me logged in. Well, those cookies can also be used to identify you across sites as you move from site to site. If you go to a site, let's say you go to a car dealer, and the car dealer has some advertising on the site from Google or Overture or Yahoo, and that little advertising tag has the ability to remember your visit with a cookie or other ways. There are other ways. There are more sophisticated ways. There's even fingerprinting techniques that say, well, the browser is this browser, it's this version, the version of Flash is this version, the size of the screen is this. They can detect a lot of stuff through your browser, enough that they can uniquely identify you just by all of those attributes in aggregate. It's a fingerprinting method, and it works quite well. There's also super cookies. There's all sorts of techniques. And ad tech is very incented to get better and better and better at doing this, so they've gotten pretty sophisticated. In fact, they don't tell us how they do it, but we've security researchers, privacy experts, and others have dug deep to figure this out. The key, though, is identifying you. Because once they identify you, then they can say, yeah, well, Leo's been looking a lot at cough medicines, so let's show him some cough medicine ads as he surfs around. Now, this only works if all of the sites use the same ad network, or sites share information, or ad networks share information. Generally, sites don't want to share information with competing sites. Ad networks don't want to share information with competing ad networks. But because there's only a handful of ad networks, Google's so big, it's so predominant, they can really, you know, you'll notice this. Your Google ads will start to look like stuff you're interested in. Google has even better ways of doing this because they also look at your email. They know a lot about you, don't they? And so they can use that information to target ads. Now, you can go to Google and opt out. You can also attempt to hide these cookies or delete these cookies. You can use incognito modes in your browser, things like that. But all of these are suggestions. There's even a button that, you know, is a great idea called Do Not Track. And this is something that the browser companies and the ad tech companies have kind of agreed on. The government's kind of nudged them a little bit. You can click this Do Not Track setting, and sometimes companies will honor it. The problem is they won't always honor it. Not all companies honor it, and not all browsers honor it. So it's a broken system. It's kind of like the Do Not Call system. It works a little bit, which is better than nothing. So if you don't want an airline site, for instance, to jack up prices because you checked that flight to Orlando already, then you should do incognito browsing. You should clear your cookies if that doesn't do enough. You could even use somebody else's machine or a second machine or a second browser. It's, you know, most of us have at least two browsers on our system. Chrome is a very good one. Yeah, it's from Google. And on Windows, people have Internet Explorer, Edge, and maybe Chrome as well. They might have Firefox, too. Though you could use each of these separately. Although I imagine Edge and Internet Explorer, because they're both from Microsoft, share this information. So that would be like using one. There are ways to kind of, you know, make this better. The chief way consumers are choosing is what some have called a boycott. They're using ad blockers. And this is really scaring Google and others. These ad blockers kind of take the same kind of ad tech that's being used against you to protect you. They block the servers that provide these ads. Ad blocker might also help you on an airline site because ad blockers often block cookies. There's AdBlock Plus. Some people don't like AdBlock Plus because it lets some ads through. They have an acceptable ad policy, and companies pay to be on that list. Of course, the ads also have to be less obtrusive, not jumping and shaking and vibrating and taking over the page. And AdBlock Plus, we've interviewed them. Their position is, well, look, you know, advertise. Some you have to have advertising. These sites would go away if they don't have a way to make money. We just want to make sure the advertising is unobtrusive, not annoying. Then there's ad blockers like uBlock Origin, which blocks everything. And there's no acceptable use. And this is written by a guy who says, look, all this stuff's bad. I don't want to see ads. And I don't care if it puts sites out of business. We're going to take a break for an ad. Please don't block it. A lot of media is ad-supported. And there is a negative side effect to blocking ads. But I understand why users have gotten to the point where they just had it. They're fed up. An airline that raises its price because you looked at that flight before, that's not nice. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. uBlock Origin, not uBlock. There is a difference. Oh, it's gonna. Well, that's what happens. It's an escalating war. You can't win this war. But I think it's a really great boycott. It's a consumer boycott. Saying, look, you've overstepped. I kind of honor that. Hey, Johnny Jet.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. As you can see, I'm home.
Yay! You didn't go anywhere. You were thinking about it.
I was, but I had work to do, and I just dropped my wife off at the airport.
Oh,
she's on her way to cold Toronto.
I'm sorry. I thought she was abandoning Toronto.
No, she's still there. But
man.
She goes back and forth.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going this week. It's going to be 1 degree.
Yeah.
One.
No.
Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Yeah. They finally got winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. One is pretty bad.
I just came from softball practice, and it was, you know, 75 degrees.
It's beautiful. I know. We've been having great weather. Skies dried up.
And my buddy just texted me, asked me if I was in L.A., and I'm like, I am. And he works the Super Bowl. He's one of the big wigs over there.
Oh.
So who knows? He might be asking me if you want to go. I might be jumping on a plane.
Oh, man.
I'll sit in the seat next to you.
I'll be jealous. Do you have a companion ticket?
We'll find out.
Wow. How fun. I hope you get to go.
I've been a couple times.
We've been once. We went when the Niners went in New Orleans. And yeah, I love New Orleans. And that was a great party. That was so much fun. I really loved it. It would have been better had we won.
Yes. And that's when the lights went out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because people blamed Lisa because she'd have been at a Niners game when the lights went out. Similarly, at Candlestick.
Gosh.
Yeah. We never did find out exactly what happened. See, I have the theory that that was a hack.
Well,
yeah, I have a feeling that was a test.
But I don't know about that.
How do you knock out the lights?
I thought they said it was one of the trucks. You know, they didn't have enough.
No, they said a lot of things.
I can't remember.
A transformer blew. They said a lot of things.
Okay.
You could say anything you want. I don't buy it.
That's the way you should be.
But, I mean, there wasn't a lot of coverage as to what happened and how did that happen.
It's true. I can't remember.
No. They covered it up, I think. I'm not a big conspiracy guy either, but I fully expect there to be these kinds of cyber attacks.
Did man walk on the moon?
Yes, of course man walked on the moon. In fact, one of the men who walked on the moon just passed away at 85, Edwin Mitchell.
I just saw that on the ticker.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I flew with Buzz Aldrin one time.
What? I've interviewed Buzz. I have an autograph somewhere.
Great guy.
Oh, man. Love those guys. They're not making it up. Give me a break.
I know.
These guys are the straightest arrow guys in the world.
I agree, but there are people out there.
You know, to call them liars is a great insult. to our military, to our... I mean, it's just such an insult. Edgar, agreed. Not Edward. I'm sorry. Edgar Mitchell. That's a conspiracy theory I don't buy. And 911 was Al-Qaeda. I don't buy those. But, you know, I don't know. I should Super Bowl. I should read up more. Power outage.
What did I start?
I want to see the cause. That's what went wrong. Here's CBS News. An abnormality in the power system triggered an automatic shutdown. Abnormality. I think it was a hack. Almost certain. Yes, that's Johnny Jett's theme song, because he has been everywhere, man. He's the traveling dude, 100+ thousand miles a year. He goes all around the world. And where is he today? You never know. Where are you, Johnny Jett?
I'm home, Los Angeles, California.
No, it's nice. He's on vacation. You know where Johnny Jett goes on vacation? Home.
That's right.
Home.
Catch up on my stories.
JohnnyJett.com is the website. He works very hard. But that's one of the nice things about a website like yours is you can work from anywhere. You can file. You can do that newsletter. You can file stories. It doesn't matter where you are. As long as you can get
that's
online.
That's the best part. Yeah. And you know what? I'm about to send a deals newsletter, and there's some really good deals out there for you. You could go on United to Kuala Lumpur from San Francisco to Malaysia for $560 round trip, including all taxes.
Oh, I would go just for the food. Malaysia's food is incredible.
They have some of the best food in the world.
I agree.
And Virgin America also has a deal right now, 2-for-1 to Hawaii. If you use a promo code Mahalo, I'll put that in my newsletter. So if you get, but anyway, that's what I'm going to do right after I get off the phone with you. Send that out.
Awesome.
And in the meantime, I got an app and a website for you. So you tell me what you want first.
Whatever the website. I'll just make up one. Let's start with a website.
All right. Well, I was actually going to do a different website, and I was just testing it out, and they didn't write back like they said they do in 2 minutes. So I'm going to change it up.
All right.
So this one is one of my all-time favorites, and I have a private page on my website where I put all my favorite links and the ones that I use, and one of them is called Time, TIME.IS.
Time is?
Yeah, so it's been around for a while.
What time is it? It tells you what time it is.
Exactly the time, where you are, and also anywhere in the world that you want. So before you call up one of your buddies who's traveling, you don't wake them up in the morning. Or middle of night.
It's got all the different time zones, and you can enter your own as well. That's nice.
There's over 7 million times they'll give you, locations around the world. You just type in whatever, and what I really like about it is you scroll down, and you'll see, you know, the sunrises, sunsets.
That's nice.
how much time daylight there is that day, holidays, observances.
This is like population. Everything you'd ever want to know about time.
So it's pretty cool.
Even a nice little quote. I value the friend who for me finds time on his calendar, but I cherish the friend who for me does not consult his calendar. Ooh, time.is. Wow, it's from Norway. Nice.
And they use an atomic clock to keep it the most, they say, the most accurate time in the world, not the clock on your computer.
That's good. In fact, but it was good because it says the clock on my computer is 0.067 seconds slow. So it's pretty close.
How about the clock behind you?
That's all wrong.
Okay, because I always go by that.
No, it's off by about 19 seconds.
Okay. All right.
That's also a radio, you know, atomic clock. It does radio setting. But the problem is inside, it doesn't get a signal. So I have to put it outside on the street to fix it. So every once in a while, we do that.
I gotcha.
Time is now. I can use this. This is awesome. Time is. Now, you know, it's funny. We used to really, you know, that was a big issue. But now because of smartphones, which constantly get a signal update, and our computers are constantly checking the time servers, I think we actually are very accurate all the time now. We know what time it is. There's no question.
I'm with you. I used to set my clock to Big Ben in London.
Oh, now that's cool. How would you do that?
Well, I used to go there.
Oh, Big Ben's supposed to be very accurate. Or actually, Big Ben's the bell.
Right.
And the clock is in the Elizabeth Tower.
Correct.
Yeah.
But everyone knows it as Big Ben. But anyway, but you are very correct.
Yes. So there I got go. An app time for that you. Is, and give us an app too. Yes.
So this one's called Washio, WASHIO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're traveling or even when you come home, one of the drags is doing laundry. So yes. This one right now is just in the U.S., 6 cities, Boston, Chicago, L.A., Oakland, San Francisco, and D.C.
Well, this is interesting.
And what you can do, it's free. It's an app you download on either Android or iOS, and you set up an account real quick.
Do they come and get your clothes?
In an hour.
I love that.
So there's a minimum fee order of 15 pounds, or the fee is $30.
So it's wash and fold or dry cleaning.
Correct. So dry cleaning is 15 pounds as a minimum, and it costs about $30, plus there's a delivery fee of $5.99. But, you know, if you're traveling on the road and you don't have time to do your laundry, which a lot of times I don't, this would be a very good alternative. Yeah. And for dry cleaning, a men's suit costs about $12, which is, you know, high, but hey, it's not terribly high, especially for LA prices.
You know, most cities have dry cleaners that will come get your stuff.
They do, but
they don't have an app.
But to find them, you
got to set up the account and all of that. Yeah, I've always been planning and meaning to do that. A lot of apartment buildings, even in Petaluma, our little town here, I used to live in an apartment where they would come and get your cleaning if you wanted.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to move into a different place then.
Yeah. Come on. Let's get some services, some amenities. But the whole thing is the app, isn't it?
You know, I think that's part of the allure.
Wouldn't it be cool if you had a smartwatch button you could push and say, do my laundry, and it would be done? I love that.
For sure. And I heard Tide is actually coming out with like a new app for picking up people's laundry. I think they're only in Chicago, though. I'm not positive on that, but that's what I heard.
Wow. My smartphone is correct by point. It's just off by 0.054 seconds. So that's the thing. We know what time it is now. We've got a very accurate. Your Apple Watch is just as accurate. Very accurate. It's kind of cool.
See that?
Yeah.
And I got a quick tip for you before we leave. Speaking of your phone.
Love those. Yes.
You know, it's a simple tip, but when you're traveling, clean the lens on your camera phone. All you got to do is, I usually take my shirt, but if you have a Q-tip, it's even better. But just a quick wipe. And it makes a huge difference. I sent out a tip newsletter the other day, and I just showed the comparison of after.
We forget that we're getting it all schmutzy.
I mean, I have to do it pretty much every photo I take.
Yeah.
So, you know, your hands have oils on them, and anyway, that's my quick tip.
Be careful. Don't use anything too like alcohol or anything too, caustic. It'd just be fine. Just a little cotton, nothing too scratchy. A little cotton on there. Like your T-shirt or your shirt.
Well, I usually use my T-shirt,
T-shirt's good. That's what that's for. That's why we wear T-shirts. We're all doing it now, by the way. Heather's doing it, too. We're all cleaning our lenses. Everybody in this listening audience.
Good. I'm glad.
No schmutz. It's true, though. It gets all smeary, and you don't notice it, and then your pictures are kind of dull.
I agree 100%. Yes. So who are you going for tomorrow?
Well, I have a little sentimental. I mean, you know, obviously I'm a Niners fan, so I don't.
You love Manning, though.
I have a sentimental feeling for Peyton Manning. It's probably his last Super Bowl. He's one of the all-time greats. What is it, 19 years in the NFL? And Cam Newton, he's going to have other chances. This guy's amazing. But this is Peyton's last shot. So let's go for the Broncos. Here's what I think. I think the Panthers are going to dominate all through the first three quarters. It's going to look like it's all over. And then Peyton Manning's going to wake up. The Broncos are going to wake up with a thrilling come-from-behind victory, maybe even a Hail Mary at the very last second. Something really exciting. That's what I'm hoping for. Super Bowl's usually not very exciting, I have to say.
I don't know. I just love that. You know Peyton's going to retire, but he hasn't told anyone about it because he doesn't want to make it a side story.
Right. It's funny at the press conferences. Yeah, he's saying things like, well, I could find the fountain of youth between now and the end of the season. And maybe I've got another 10 years left. I don't know. Right. No, this is his final hurrah. He almost didn't even make it to the Super Bowl. So,
right. Know. But he's not going out a winner, I don't think. Carolina's going to be too
They're tough. Awfully good. They're awfully good. It's fun. Something it to sure talk is. About. If we didn't have this, we guys wouldn't have anything to talk about. So it's good.
It is.
Just be glad, ladies, that guys have something, they have sports, because otherwise we just stand there mute, looking at each other going, yeah, nice weather.
Well, if I get a ticket, I'll call you up.
Well, I hope you get to go. That would be fun. Johnny Jets at johnnyjet.com. Follow him on Twitter. You'll find out. You'll see pictures from the stadium maybe tomorrow. Also Instagram, Johnny Jet. Always good to follow him. Thank you, Johnny. We'll talk again next week. Leo Thanks, Laporte, Leo. The tech guy. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, is your dad coming over for the game?
He's actually, I would point the camera the other way, but he's passed out on the couch with his mouth wide open.
Aw, you're such a good son. Gosh, I hope my son is as kind to me as you are to your dad.
The guy's 87. I mean,
I know you're a sweetheart, though.
I'm very lucky to have the incredible
you're
parents.
You're very lucky. Yeah. He's a sweetie.
Yes, he's been great.
Yeah.
So anyway, you got to
treat
him.
All right,
John. All right, you have
a
great week.
I hope we get to go to. So you think you might? When would you find out?
Oh, sometimes my buddy's done this in the past. He'll call me up and say, "Hey, if you can get on a plane, I'll get a ticket for you."
Wow. What does he do?
He runs the whole NFL experience.
Oh, neat.
So
neat.
He also does the Oscars. This guy,
he does a good job. That NFL experience was fun when we went.
He does it all. I mean, he does MTV Music Awards, Joe Louis Company. It's incredible.
Wow. Well, good luck. I hope you get to see the game. I'll be looking for you in the stands. Wear something unusual.
I'll wear my orange shirt. Although they think I'm like a Broncos.
Yeah, that's a Broncos color. You know,
but I'm not going for the Broncos.
You're going for.
Although I like Peyton.
I have to say, the Panthers have been impressive. I'm not a Cam Newton fan personally, but he sure is a great player. Yeah. His personality leaves a little bit desired, but he's a great player. He's kind of a jerk.
I just watched an episode on him on ESPN, and actually I thought the same way, and then after watching it.
He's actually not so bad?
No, yeah, he's had had some tough times.
All right, good. All right. I'll give him some credit. He's a hell of a player.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's got a great team.
Yep. Anyway.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Take care.
All
Cheers.
Right. See ya.
I went to that NFL experience yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's cool, isn't it?
It was fun. Have you ever done that? Were you on Radio Row?
No, I haven't done it for work. I did it for fun when we went to the Super Bowl and with the Niners in New Orleans. So part of your deal is you get tickets to the Super Bowl experience. And
okay.
Yeah, it's fun, the NFL experience. It's fun.
Because a friend was in town because her husband's doing a broadcast.
Oh, neat.
So we were back there.
Oh, neat. So you're in Radio Row.
And we were, we started chatting, you know. It was like, ugh.
Well, it's fun because, you know, when you watch it on TV, it's noisy, and you go, why does it sound so crappy? And then you realize they're all in the same
my God.
Venue, you know, they're all in the same place. It's really echoey and noisy.
It's just a big hall. Sirius, ESPN, CBS,
yeah.
Locals.
They're everywhere. TV. Gosh, in New Orleans, you couldn't go 5 feet without a broadcast booth and lights. And it was like, wow, oh, they're here too, huh?
It's exciting. Yeah. I mean, it's a big undertaking, but it also reminds me that, like, hey, there are still a lot of jobs in radio because look at all these freaking people.
Oh, yeah. Radio's not going anywhere, especially talk radio. Talk radio is doing fine, I think.
Yeah, so...
Because you can't duplicate talk radio, you know, with Spotify. I mean, podcasts do, but they're not live. There's mm-hmm. something about live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big yeah. bunch of people at yeah. a live in a some hall. But I felt somebody behind me, and I was like, oh, sorry. And I turned around, and Joe Namath was squeezing past.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, my God, I was in Joe Namath's way. And
Joe.
Our butt cheeks touch. And my friend goes, you literally had a brush with greatness.
Oh, my gosh. Or at least the tookus of a greatness. Wow.
And I had a furry jacket on, and people were like, oh, look out. Joe Namath's going to probably try to take your
right,
jacket.
Right, because he used to wear that fur. That's right. Broadway Joe.
It was hilarious.
Wow.
And I saw Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh,
and,
neat.
Ryan Reynolds. Pretty up close.
He's good in OJ, by the way. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't, but...
Oh, it's so
that.
Good. It's sleazy, but it's so good. And
how
you know his greatness? Travolta as Shapiro.
Really?
He's awesome. Oh, my God, is Travolta good. He is such a good actor.
Is he creepy?
He's creepy as hell. Oh, my God, it's awesome.
Is it David Schwimmer plays
yes.
Kardashian?
Yes. He's hysterical as Kardashian.
I gotta watch this. Oh, speaking of TV, have you watched Chelsea Does yet?
No.
Oh.
I have to watch that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. We go back to the phones. Rick is in Torrance, our next caller. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll tell you what's going on. I'm kind of getting tired of being under the thumb of, like, Verizon and them. With every phone you get, they load all their garbage onto it.
I know.
And I'm thinking about getting a Google Nexus 6 or 6 Plus, or not 6 Plus. 6,
get the 6P. Don't get the 6. Get the 6P.
6P. Yep. Now, the negative there is you got to come up with the cash for it.
They have a financing plan. Google has a financing plan.
You have to go with Google Fi. Is that correct?
Yes, and I have a 6P on Google Fi, and I have to say this is a great system.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. First of all, if you like Android... of course, the Nexuses are the best Android choice because it's pure Google. Mm-hmm. There's no skin on top of it, no touch whiz, no blur. It's pure Google, and there's no carrier stuff on it because your carrier is Google itself. Fi is a technically very interesting, and this is why it's limited to the Nexus phones. You can only do it on a 5X, 6P, or a 6 because it's transparently handing off between three different systems, whichever is the best, Wi-Fi, T-Mobile, or Sprint. And it can even do this as you're in a call, seamlessly just hand off. So you make a call at home, it's going to use the Wi-Fi. You go out the door, you get in the car, you drive off, it switches over to whichever carrier is the best. It does this all automatically. And the thing I really like is the pricing is very good. It's been very inexpensive for me. The way it works, you pay $20 for the service, and that gives you unlimited texts and unlimited voice. And then you pay for the data you use, and only the data you use. So if you use a lot of data, you know, I think it's $10 a gigabyte. But you only pay for what you use. So my bill is typically around $30 a month. And I love that.
See, one thing I did like is that on the data, any of these other companies, you use 1 megabyte over that gig, and they charge you for the whole gig.
And this is all fractional, so they will charge you for the megabyte only.
Uh-huh.
I think they've done an incredible job. Of course, it's Google. They're technologists, and so they're also, I think, really trying to put Verizon and AT&T and out of business. Now, there's some disadvantages. You don't. It's unlike a T-Mobile plan. You don't get the binge on the free music, but you do get the international, which is one of the reasons I like T-Mobile. When you travel internationally, at no additional cost, you get a reduced cost on calls, free international, unlimited international texting, and free low speed data, 2G. a lot of times it was 3G data. That's enough, you know, considering it's free, it's enough to get you by.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get that with Fi, but you don't get the unlimited music streaming, you know, no-cost music streaming. It doesn't matter. The cost is so fair, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm not big into all that anyway. I only use about 2 gigs a month.
Yeah, so it's $20 plus the $20. It'd be $40 a month. It's a great deal. Mm-hmm. It's a great mm-hmm. deal. I have been very happy.
If you don't buy one of their phones from them, how hard is it to get in that Google Fi?
Not a problem at all.
You need an invite.
Do you still need an invite?
I think so.
Wow, I thought they'd stop doing that. Well, that's a good question. So if you buy a phone, you don't need an invite? You can just get it? Or do you need an invite both ways? I don't know.
No, I think if you buy one of their phones from them, you're automatically invited.
Okay.
Now, I do have an option. I've got somebody that's got a brand new 6, and they've got an invite with it, and I can get into that for $300 versus $700 or so for the 6P.
The 6 is not a bad phone. It's big. The camera's not as good as the 6P. It's bigger than the 6P. It's a giant. It's really kind of a the code name for it was Shamu because it's a whale of a phone. But it's not a bad phone. And you're right, you'll probably get deals on it because it's last year's phone. If you could afford it, and by the way, they do offer financing at the Google Store. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you could afford it, I think the 6P is a considerably better phone in almost every respect.
Okay. Yeah. No use buying one if you're going to upgrade to the next. Right away.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been very impressed. I think Google really has nailed it with Fi. If you buy it from them and you get the invite, you know, it's a tough decision. It depends on how tight money is right now.
Yeah. Well, the other major factor is I've been with Verizon for years, probably 15 years, and you know they are the best as far as getting the reception.
Well, that's important because, you know, it depends on where you are. It's no point in going with Fi if Sprint and T-Mobile are terrible where you are.
Right.
So you do, you know, you really do need to know how the coverage is where you are. And that's true everywhere. You see these ads from Verizon, and now you're seeing anti-Verizon ads from AT&T, and they're talking about national coverage. Nobody cares about national coverage. The only thing that's important is how is the service where you use your phone. Yeah, I don't care how it is in Chattanooga because I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just try it or ask somebody who has Sprint and T-Mobile. Generally speaking, as long as you're in an urban area, Sprint and T-Mobile are going to be fine. It's when you get out in the country that they don't work as well. But the fact that you have three choices means I have never lacked for coverage. You know, Wi-Fi is everywhere now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But T-Mobile tends to be in the urban areas. Sprint is a little sketchier. Now, Sprint's going to get better. Sprint's really putting money into their network. So, you know, they got bought by a big Japanese firm that's pumping billions into beefing up their network. The reason Sprint's not great is because they made a bad bet. They thought the best 4G was going to be something called WiMAX. It wasn't. Now they have to rebuild on LTE, and it's taken them a while. But I tell you, I couldn't be happier. I rarely use Sprint. You can't tell what it's doing unless you download a third-party app that will let you know which carrier you're on. Fi, it's always just says Google Fi. But there are third-party apps that will say, oh, right now you're on Sprint, right now you're on T-Mobile. And in my case, I don't ever see Sprint. But that's reasonable because, frankly, Sprint's not very good where I am. Didn't stop me, and it's great. And when I go somewhere where T-Mobile's weak, at least I have the option of using Sprint. So I would, without reservation, recommend Fi. And I think the 6P is a great phone. Really is the best Android phone out there. Chris in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm well.
So long-time listener, first time calling in. I appreciate you keeping a former nerd up to date on a lot of things. And
well, no, once a nerd, always a nerd. You can't be a former nerd. I'm sorry, you don't get to be.
Oh, well, you know, you start getting lost in work and around and everything.
You don't keep up on it. That's fine, but you're still a nerd.
Oh, of course. And on that note, I have so many different devices, and I just recently got the Surface Pro 4.
Nice.
And I have a I guess you call it a Frankenstein machine at home, that's running Windows 10 also. And I was curious about an email client that you would recommend.
You know, I'm not fond of Outlook, Microsoft's Outlook. Obviously, you're not. That's the default. Everybody always chooses that. I don't feel like it's very good. I've used a variety of them. I just use Thunderbird. It's free from Mozilla. It's very powerful. It does everything I want it to do. Stores mail in a text, basically text inbox format. That's a standard. So you can always move to somebody else without any problem. I'd start there. Thunderbird. It even has calendaring capabilities with the Lightning plugin. I find it's great. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ugh, Outlook's horrible. It's as bad as Domino's pizza might be.
It's the Domino's pizza.
It's the Domino's pizza of email apps.
Servers.
I don't know what actually is a good, better email app. I've tried a lot of them. Boxer's good, and Pegasus has been around for ages. But I think Thunderbird is free and works fine. I think it's a very good choice. I know it's going bye-bye. I worry about that. I don't know if it's literally going bye-bye or they're forking it or what they're doing. It's open source, so it will never go bye-bye. It's just that I don't think Mozilla is going to keep it around. But that's the beauty of an open source blog. Anybody have another recommendation? I'd love to hear about it. No, I know, Dr. Mom. You know what, Dr. Mom? I'm doing great. I am just feeling good. My blood sugar's gone down. Everything's good. Well, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and the best mail programs for Windows. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the number. 888-827-5536. You can also visit our website, techguylabs.com. I'd love to get some input, either on the phone or on the website, about good email programs for Windows. Actually, in general, I try them all. Because I've yet to find the perfect email program. And email is such a nightmare. A good email program could make such a difference. Google's tried with their inbox program. You know, Gmail, a lot of people use Gmail, Google's free online mail service. And it does a pretty good job. Gmail has some features that help kind of keep track of things, organize mail. They have an inbox system that does some sorting automatically. And it does a pretty good job. But I, you know, there's more to that for me than just, you know, that. I love, and I've used in the past, very elaborate filtering systems, you know, to handle my massive amount of email. Because that's really the problem, isn't it? The email, there's just so much of it. And you miss stuff. And I hate doing that. And I miss stuff all the time. The ability to kind of pre-fill, you know, auto-answer email. Inbox has just added that. It will look at the email and propose a good answer. Like, I'll get right on it, or thanks for the suggestion, and that kind of thing. That's handy. I also look for email that supports encryption and signing, because I think it's really important to have that capability. I use GNU Privacy Guard, GPG, which is based on PGP. It's PGP compatible. I don't encrypt that often, but I like to sign my email. That way you know it came from me. There's no mechanism in email to verify the sender's identity. You know that. It's easy to say, you know, I'm somebody else in email. It's trivial because email never imagined that environment where you'd have to verify somebody's identity. So GPG signing lets you do that. People can say, yeah, well, I know this came from Leo because it's signed digitally. So that's a good thing. So I look for that. Good strong filtering capabilities, good spam protection. Yeah, sure, why not? Gmail does a great job, but hey, how about a little bit more? I also think it's important to have, not to store, one of the reasons I don't like Microsoft's solution, Outlook, is it stores everything in one big invisible file. Microsoft seems to like doing that. And if the file gets damaged, you're kind of in trouble. Thunderbird, the email program I mentioned, which is available on every platform, Windows, Mac, Linux, stores its email in a standard format, the mbox format, that is plain text, it's multiple files. The file structure on the hard drive kind of mirrors the folder structure on your system. It just does a good job. I love Thunderbird. But do you have a better recommendation? I'd love to hear about it, especially for Windows. I've tried Pegasus and Boxer, a lot of other third-party email programs. Never found quite the right one. You know, Microsoft had a pretty good one. The Outlook Express was actually pretty good. And then they changed it to Windows Live Mail. It was very simple, but it got the job done. Outlook does too much. It's like most Office programs from Microsoft. It does too many things. It's a Swiss Army knife when I just want a simple blade. 8888 Ask Leo. I'd love to hear from you. Unfortunately, Eudora, which was a great program, is long gone. Thunderbird may be on its way out, too. I don't know. The Mozilla Foundation, which publishes it and Firefox, has lately made noises. They don't want to do anything but Firefox. But I'm sure because it's an open source project, it'll find a home. Robert is in Rolling Hills, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Leo. I love the show.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm calling give your listeners maybe a caveat emptor about this. You're going to see a lot of commercials on the Super Bowl for this app called Wallop. Have you heard of this app?
No, they bought a lot of Super Bowl ads. They must have money. What does Wallop do?
Well, what they do, they advertise themselves as sort of a simplified Craigslist.
Oh, it's like a local flea market.
Yeah, exactly like that. And, you know, I was looking to sell a washer and dryer, you know, and kind of avoid the creepiness and complication of Craigslist. So, you know, it was really easy to use and sign up, took a picture, sent it off, and literally 2 minutes after I listed it, I've got three people interested, which, you know, perked up my cynical ears.
That
right
sounds
away.
Good, yeah.
No, well, hold on. You know, I get to the emails or they have a little chat thing, and they're in broken English, and they want me to immediately email them and, you know, with some information.
There's scammers on there. You're saying?
Oh, it's riddled with them. I mean, literally, while I was on hold, I got two more people, and they're all kind of worded the same, where they say, oh, I'm going to send you a cashier's check. I'm going to send it for more than it's worth. So
this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
You know, my son is in Europe right now, and he says, boy, there are a lot of scammers in Europe. I mean, everything from 8-year-old girls in Paris who tried to sell him some subscriptions to something to pickpockets. And I said, well, you're going to tourist places. You're going to places where people go with money and maybe not paying close attention. And, of course, the scammers are going to flock to you. And it's the same thing with Craigslist or Wallop or any of these systems. You know, they're not going to use classifieds in the newspaper because you have to pay money for that.
Right, but Craigslist seems to have a little better handle on how to report the fraud and everything. This is just a free-for-all. It's like the wild.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I looked into the company, and they're a Kickstarter company that got, like, an infusion of cash, like, ridiculous, like $13 million. And it
wow.
really seems to
they're
me...
They're spending it on the Super Bowl. Aren't you glad you gave them money?
It seems to me like they're not making a profit now, and it seems to me like they're just getting pumped with cash. It's one of those things where eventually the bubble's going to burst and we'll sell this to a big company.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't look like it's backed by any real sort of people doing anything.
Well, they sure lucked out, though, didn't they, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They hit the jackpot. You know, in a way, that's kind of the scam as well, is go to Kickstarter, raise a lot of dough, even if you have no idea how to do what you're proposing. Throw that dough around and find developers and create something. You know, I think Kickstarter people is another place where, frankly, people ought to be careful. Caveat emptor, you said, and I think that's true. Let the buyer beware. Well, I appreciate the heads up on Wallop. I mean, the good news is it sounds like you pretty quickly determine who's a scammer. Have you gotten any legitimate offers?
Nothing yet. I just posted it yesterday. But while I was on hold a long time. I started corresponding with the guy and sort of trolling him and, you know, told him to send it to Eddie Munster at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Did he know the reference?
No, of course
not. Oh, yeah, because he's not from around here.
he's going to send me send a mover, and I need to pay for the mover first. And I said, "Oh, no problem."
Of course you do.
You know, told him that my cousin Marilyn would be out there. She's kind of homely, and that my grandpa would probably be flying around the neighborhood. And we'll see how far I can take it.
I'm glad you're having fun anyway. That I appreciate that, and I there are so many scammers out there. I almost got bit the other day because I got a text message on Apple's messages on my phone saying, "This is Apple. Find my iPhone. We found your lost iPhone." Now, it turned out that I thought my son had lost his iPhone in Europe because he talked about being pickpocketed by some gypsies or something. I thought he lost his iPhone. So I clicked the link. But after I clicked the link, I noticed the link was to apple.al. AL is Albania. And I don't believe Apple has a security outfit in Albania.
Probably not.
What did it pull me to? It pulled me to a page that looked exactly like the iCloud page where it asked for my Apple login. Now, fortunately, I have two factors, so even if I had given it to them, I'd be okay. But nowadays on the internet, you've got to be very cautious. And if you smell a rat, there probably is one. And certainly don't send people money ahead of time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I appreciate that. Eddie Munster, 13 Mockingbird Lane. I love that. And they go, okay, I know where that is. I'm just down the block from you. AL is Alabama in the postal codes, but it's not Alabama in the TLDs. It is Albania. And Albania... Well, you know, I mean, I don't think it's Wallop's fault particularly, except they probably need better ways to report potential scams. Yeah, if you're going to use uBlock Origin, it's an extension, not an app. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. It's a shame the world is so full of scammers. Of course, the internet makes it really easy because basically people have access to you from everywhere in the world. Otherwise, in the past, they'd have to come to you or you'd have to go to them. But now, thanks to the internet, when you use a program like, let's say, Wallop, that means everybody can see your, address and get a hold of you and try to scam you. How many of you have ever received emails from Nigerian princes who want to give you millions of dollars? The original of that scam is actually pretty old. In fact, it predates the internet. It's just a standard con. The advance fee scam, they call it. And that was, in fact, what happened to our caller on Wallop. Oh, I want to buy your thing, but, you know, the mover's going to cost, so I need you to send me some money so I can get the movers over there. That's the giveaway. You know, when they want you to give them something before they give you something. I have $10 million, but I need some help with legal fees to release it. Ask Leo. I wish there was some way we could teach people how to be, you know, not to fall for these scams. First one was a newspaper ad. In fact, there's a book on it by Maria Konnikova called The Confidence Game, and the subtitle is Why We Fall For It Every Time. You know why? Because we are trusting. They call it the grifter's game sometimes. It's a con game that's been around for years. In the case of the Nigerian prince scam, or its variants, where you get an email saying, I've left you a lot of money in my will, or I want you to help be my American agent to help me distribute $100 million to charity, and as a result, as a thank you, I'll give you 10% finder's fee. Do the math, it's $10 million. Oh, yeah, I'm interested. But what it works out is that the contact gets deeper and deeper. You get to know more and more of them. Eventually, you'll send them money. That's the theory. And people fall for it all the time. Sometimes they call it a classic foot-in-the-door scheme. First, it's just a pen pal. And then it's more. It started with an ad, I think it was in the 50s, an appeal from a Prince Bill Morrison. He was a prince of noble birth, hailing from the far reaches of Nigeria. All he wanted was some American pen pals. So moving was the wording that newspapers actually published his mailing address as an article, free of charge. Oh, Prince Bill wants American pen pals. Anybody interested? After a few letters go back and forth, Prince Bill said, "Would you send me $4 and an old pair of pants you don't need anymore? In exchange, I will send you vast quantities of ivory, diamonds, and emeralds. They mean nothing to me, but your old pants, that I could use. Worthless baubles." All he asked for was $4 and a pair of pants. I think he probably got quite a bit. It's worse. It's worse now. Let's go on to Adonis in Turin, Italy. Wow. Hello, Adonis.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great to talk to you. How are you?
Oh, fine. I should be studying right now, but...
Oh, no. What are you studying?
Chemistry right now.
And you're studying where?
Turin, in my house.
You know, but I mean, what's the school?
Oh, it's the Polytechnic of Turin.
Nice. University. How come your English is so excellent, Adonis?
Because I'm from Cyprus, actually.
Ah.
And we've got a long history of
absolutely
Englishmen.
Did you grow up speaking English? Or
No, but it's part of a culture to be fluent. So
I wish it were part of our culture. That's great. What can I do for you?
So I wanted to ask you if there is a way to keep your phone germ-free without destroying it. And by destroying, I mean removing the layer that there is on the screen, the yellow pubic layer,
right,
and the layer on the aluminum body, I guess.
Yeah, so you don't want to use anything like alcohol or ammonia because that will strip coatings that are on there. But there are many screen cleaners made that are designed for computer screens, which, if anything, are even more fragile than phone screens. So any of those are fine. I mean, I've used for years a program called ClearScreen. I don't know what's available in Turin, but ClearScreen with a K is a very mild, it's just mostly water solvent. And you don't want to spray it right on the phone directly, but spray it on a damp, and this is important, non-abrasive cloth. A microfiber cloth would work. A chamois would work. Something that's not going to leave lint, and it's not going to have little scrapey things in it because you don't want to scratch it. That's actually worse.
Yeah.
And then rub it gently in case there's debris on it. So you don't want to, if there is, you know, some soil or something that might scratch it, you don't want to rub that in. You want to clean it off and before you rub it in. So I have here something called Screen Guard, which is also designed. Anything designed for LCD displays or TV sets will be fine for your phone.
Yeah, I was also thinking about if you put these protecting films on top of the screen, you should be okay if you use anything like alcohol.
Yeah, as long as you don't mind scratching them, at least they're replaceable. Yeah. Frankly, even just distilled water would be fine. I mean, water is a great solvent and does a great job. But if you want to, you know, kill the germs too, something with other chemicals in it. I don't know what's in these things. They don't ever tell you. They're always proprietary formulas. But
yeah, I was afraid because if a $2 screen
protector,
screen cleaner, cleaner,
yeah.
I thought it would have like alcohol or anything.
No,
just dollars. It's not like
A lot of times it's just water. Yeah, but you want some sort of cleaner in there. Yeah, a good question about germs is interesting. I think if you just use water to wipe it off, and again, don't get it wet. That you probably be okay because these are not these glass surfaces and metal surfaces don't really promote bacteria anyway. So wiping it off probably gets rid of a lot of it. I think you're probably all right. Hey, it's really good to talk to you. What are you studying? Chemistry?
Chemistry right now, and this is how the idea came about, because I was studying about alcohol and surfaces and all that, so it just came.
You know what I think? You could invent something.
I should.
Yes. Call it the screen cleaner of Turin. And you know, I think it'd probably be a pretty good business because you know, really, it's not expensive to make, but the key is you want to protect those screens. I've used Clear Screen, Klear Screen, for years. It's widely available in the U.S. You can get it on Amazon. I wouldn't be surprised if they sell it in Italy as well. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Good luck with your studies. And I'm so glad to know you're listening in Italy. Ciao. Arrivederci. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's the extent of my multilingualism. Dryer sheets and distilled water. I don't think I'd do that. There's something on those dryer sheets. Usually it's a soap, right? Of some kind. I think a damp microfiber cloth is fine. I don't really clean my screens very often. Yes, and don't use salt water. Yes, you should sell it with a cloth of Turin. The funny part about all this, I didn't finish the story about Prince Bill Morrison. I'll finish it. He was a 14-year-old American kid. So he wasn't really probably being mean. You know, that wasn't his point. We're trying to get this guy, this author, Maria Kornikova, on our triangulation show to talk about cons. This is 1949, actually. This is Prince Richard, who wrote to people in the United States requesting various sums of money and articles of clothing be sent to them, and he would send them items of jewelry and other articles of Nigerian production. This is from the records of the Postal Service. This is another. This is, I. You know what? I wonder. This is a 16-year-old kid. It's postal fraud. Here's the Bill Morrison one. I wonder if it's the same kid. No, this is a 14-year-old kid. He did it just for fun. A number of young. Wait a minute. Yeah. See, what we've heard is that there are boiler room operations where these kids are writing these letters. This is an interesting article. This is in the National Archives. Discoveries from Processing and Reference Archivists on the Job. It's written by Jessica Lee, a summer intern. That's fun. Mail fraud case 8011. It's great. Not Anna Kournikova. Maria. Similar, but different. But it is ironic, isn't it, that one of the chief malware scams was Anna Kournikova. Pictures of Anna Kournikova. Yes, he should be playing Minecraft. I was up till 2 in the morning playing Minecraft. I'm ashamed to say. So much fun. I was talking about it to my daughter. She said, "Dad, I told you that years ago." I said, I know. She was hooked on Minecraft for a while. Not anymore. She doesn't have time. I'm running 3 different servers now, including the Twit server, which is fun. It's got all the Twit stuff. Yes, I will show you again, mashed potato. I was telling the story of one of the earliest Nigerian prince scams, Prince Bill Morrison. Dates back to 1949. The newspapers published his address saying he's looking for American pen pals. He'd make friends. He'd write back and forth. Eventually, he'd say, send me $4 and an old pair of pants. And then you'd never hear from him again. So after investigation by the Postmaster General for postal fraud, I guess he got some complaints, they discovered that Prince Bill Morrison was not a Nigerian prince. He was a 14-year-old from the United States. That's why he only wanted $4 and a pair of pants. I don't know what he was doing with the pants. Anna's on the line, Sherman Oaks. Hi, Anna. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I have a Samsung Note 2, and my carrier is T-Mobile.
Okay.
For about 4 or 6 weeks, I'm having problems receiving texts and also sending text messages.
Okay.
I've called T-Mobile. I've been to their store. I've been to the Samsung desk at Best Buy, and they tried everything, and I guess the last thing is to do a reset.
Yeah.
Or to get a new phone.
I don't think it's the phone. I mean, if you're not, well, I guess it could be the phone, but I think it's much more likely their network. I'd hate for you to buy a new phone and the same thing had happened.
Yeah.
Especially if you're happy with that phone. So a reset is not as bad as it sounds.
No? Okay.
It does sound like, well, first of all, make sure that if there are any images, any pictures on there, you get those off, because you are going to start over. You're going to wipe the phone.
Okay. Is it best if I go to the store and have them do it?
You could do it yourself. Hook up the phone. Do you have a computer?
Yes, I have a laptop.
You can hook the phone up by a USB cable and copy everything that's on there that you want over, mostly to be pictures.
Yeah, which I've done. I've transferred those to my
computer. Oh, okay, good. And then the applications you have on there will just reinstall. What you'll do is you'll go into the settings menu, and there's a reset and backup, or maybe it's backup and reset setting.
Okay.
And you go in there and you make sure that the box is checked that said backup to Google servers. That's not going to back up your data, but it does back up your settings and what applications you have installed, so that when you do this, you can log into your Google account again and it'll say, oh, I have all your settings and your applications. You want to reinstall those? And you say yes. And that gets you right back to where you were.
Oh, super.
Yeah, okay. And then do the factory reset. I would do that before you buy a new phone, because if the factory reset doesn't fix it, then it isn't your phone, it's T-Mobile.
Really? well, they said they did.
We don't know. You know, it could be that there are settings in the phone that got screwed up. I'm surprised that they were so unhelpful. Are you getting no text messages at all?
Sometimes I don't. I hear all kinds of noises and beeps and buzzes, and there's nothing, you know, the sound that it makes when I get text messages, there's nothing there.
Wouldn't be a bad idea to reset the whole phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's going to fix it. If it's not, then it's their fault, and they need to fix their network. You know, there's something could be going on with the network.
Okay.
You make sure that you use the built-in messaging program as your default text messaging. And the other thing is, if there are any updates, I don't know if there are updates for that old phone, but if there are any, make sure you apply those as well.
Okay, I've done that. Yeah. Okay.
They're not going to keep that, you know, unfortunately, they're not going to keep that phone up to date. It's too
right. Yeah. I know, it's an old phone. You know?
If it works for you, there's no reason to trade it in.
Yeah, I was hoping not to.
Yeah. I mean, the new Notes are now up to the Note 5, and they're very good. I'm a big fan. I've had every Note since they came out. But the Note 2 is fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, great. Good to hear.
All right. Give it a reset. See if it fixes it. Thanks, Anna.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Robert West Covina, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Oh, good. I'm sorry to keep you holding for so long. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm actually filling out a prescription at the pharmacy.
Oh, okay.
I want to extend my home Wi-Fi, and I'm sure this is a common question, but in doing my research, it's like I have the Netgear R6300,
uh-huh.
I guess it's a pretty decent router, but I have a two-story home and a large backyard on a half acre. So I was going to get the same exact model and make it an access.
You don't even need to do that. They sell repeaters for that model that are less expensive than getting the whole new router.
Yeah, and they also have dedicated extenders like EX63.
Right, that's what you should use. Now, there's another choice you can do, and I've done this as well. If that doesn't help, because remember, you're going to place the extender about midway between where you want it to be and where your main access point is, because it's got to take this. It's got to get a good enough signal to pass it along, but it'll amplify it up. It's a repeater. You can buy as many of those as you want and spread them around the house, and usually that'll do the job. But if not, if it's so distant, or maybe there's something blocking wireless, you know, metal in the walls or in the floor would block wireless, you can use power line networking to get it up there too. Companies like TP-Link, and I've used this, TP-Link sells a power line networking kit, not very expensive. You plug one in to the wall next to your router. You plug an Ethernet cable from your router into it. And then you go upstairs, and as long as they're all in the same circuit, most homes they are, you only have one circuit box, they're all in the same circuit. You go upstairs and you plug that into the upstairs thing, and it's a Wi-Fi access point. It gets its connectivity through the wires in the wall, and then becomes Wi-Fi upstairs. And you can have a different name for it or the same name if you want. And by doing that, you're kind of bypassing anything that might be blocking the signal. So the extenders work great, but if you can't, if it's too distant, or more importantly, especially in older houses, sometimes there's metal or, you know, there's something in the walls that's not, you know, if you have lath and plaster, and you or a plaster wall, and you may have a metal grid in there to hold the plaster, that will actually be a very effective block against Wi-Fi. If that's the case, you can get around that using the power line in your home. Power line networking has gotten much better. When I first tried it, I had to reject it. I said, this is useless. But I think they've really improved it considerably. And while you won't get as fast a speed as you would if you had an Ethernet cable between the two, you'll get certainly fast enough speed for the internet. It's a good way to add internet access in areas that you just can't get to wirelessly. And the one I used was TP-Link. I think that was based on a recommendation from the Wirecutter blog, which is a pretty good place for recommendations. Look up Powerline Networking, and their reviews will give you an idea what to get. 8888-ASK. Leo, the GizWiz is coming up in just a few minutes. Dick DiBartolo with his gadget of the week, but let's continue on with Paul in Yucaipa, California. Hi, Paul. Let me see if I pushed all the buttons right. I did. Hi, are you there? Oh, there you go. Hi,
yes,
Paul.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I only have a couple minutes here, so I'll take my answer off the air.
Okie doke.
The question I had is, I'm looking to build a home PC. I don't know if I should just go all out, buy top of the line and future-proof everything, and whether I should do NVIDIA SLI or AMD Crossfire.
NVIDIA has a new platform coming out this summer that is supposedly going to be light years ahead of the current 970-980s, the Pascal platform. So it might be worth waiting and seeing. I mean, if you're going to build, you know, build versus buy is an interesting decision in the PC world. The nice thing about buying an all-in-one gaming system is you know who to call if something doesn't work. If you put it all together, you get to choose every component, but who are you going to call if something doesn't work? We're going to actually build the ultimate VR gaming machine on our new Screensavers show over the next 12 weeks, getting ready for an Oculus Rift. And we're going to use PC Perspective as our advisor, PCPer.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Dickie D.
Hey, Leo.
We're going to start next week. Ryan Shrout's going to join us every week. We're going to choose the CPU, then choose the graphics card, then the case, and we're going to slowly build it up. Take us about 12 weeks, which we hope to time with the arrival of the Oculus Rift. Because we need a heavy duty. We decided, we're going to build a new computer for your Rift. Let's go all out. It's like a $4,000 or $5,000 computer. It's going to be awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. And Ryan Shrout. It's close to that creaming corn cob. Actually, we got a list from Ryan. But it's PC Perspective has their, you know, dream machine. I think it's close to their dream machine. And then Ryan and I are going to talk about things like, should I wait for Pascal? Well, obviously, I don't want to wait, but should I maybe get a cheap card? And then we'll talk about it. But now it's time for Gizzy.
Yes.
For the Gizzy.
Yeah. I assume you like all Epsons, right?
I do. I'm an Epson fan. I use the Epson scanners, okay, too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because we went to Staples yesterday, and Dennis is going to spend $80 for ink. And I said, you know, they have an Epson for $79. So that's...
Oh, yeah. They're all great. But just now you have cartridges still. But if you're light duty, that's fine.
Very light duty.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. I love this guy's face, that big old mustache. It must be the Giz Whiz, Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer and our very own personal gizmo recommender. Hello, Dickie.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to put that in my business card because it's so catchy.
The gizmo recommender?
Out with the Giz Whiz, gizmo recommender.
It's not easy coming up with a nickname for you, Dick. I have to say.
Oh, no. Okay.
You're the king.
You notice I'm shrouded in mover's pads.
Yeah, are you moving?
No. Con Ed is putting in a new gas pipe.
Uh-oh.
And the block is closed, and the entire block is dug up.
Well, this way, if it blows up, the shrapnel will hit the moving blanket. Is that the point?
That's right. And they're just about up to my building for the pipe. So
it's going to get noisy, in other words.
It's a terrible... Actually, this is working quite well. I
don't hear a thing.
It out. No, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Great. So I have my own padded cell.
It's, you know what? You should do this from now on, except there's one negative. In the summertime, it's going to be really hot in there.
Yeah. And you can't see my crap in the background. So,
I still see plenty of crap in the background.
Oh, okay.
What is your pick this week?
Well, you know what? Everything coming into the digital age. So it is from... You have a cat. I know you have a wonderful dog.
We have two cats and a dog. The cat keeps getting lost.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a company is called Litter Robot.
Oh, we need a litter robot.
Oh, well, you have to wait a little while because you need the Litter Robot 3 Open Air.
We just spent hundreds of dollars on an automatic litter machine that turns around.
Leo, I think that's it.
It's this. Yes, it is. It rotates.
You don't have the Wi-Fi and
no,
the Bluetooth.
No, we didn't have that. This is like the cement mixer for your cat litter.
That's it. I said to the guy, what are you, wash and dry your cat in that when I first saw it?
No, they do wait till the cat leaves before they do this.
They do. And do you have the 3 open air? It looks like you might have it.
I don't know what we got. I don't know.
Okay. Well, the open air has an automatic night light, so when the cat goes in the dark, the light will come on for them.
We might have got the bubble. I see they have the bubble, the open air, and the classic.
Yes. Well, the open air...
You don't have a cat, though, so you have no idea if this works.
I do not. But you know what, Leo? I always judge by Amazon because it's expensive, as you know. It's $449.
Yeah.
But on Amazon, I think that Best Buy might sell it for a little less. But 77 people had purchased it.
You know who recommended this to us? I know where you got the idea. OMG Chad Johnson has this.
Well, the funny thing is, I just did this on GizWiz, and Leo said, and Chad said, oh, no, not a new version. I don't have one. I don't have the app.
He has the old one.
It doesn't notify me.
Wait a minute. There's an app that tells you when the cat goes in?
Yes, and I said to the guy, what in the world do you need this for?
I don't need to know when my cat's going.
Well, he says several things. If you suddenly find your cat is using it 8 times a day and has been using it only 3 times a day, you should probably have your cat checked out because something's wrong.
Look at this. It looks like a cement mixer.
It looks like a small washing machine. I said to the guy, if I move this into my apartment, I have to move out because...
So it rotates and then somehow does, by doing that, kind of cleans out.
It rotates and then it comes to a filter. When it hits the filter, the yucky stuff falls down into the bottom. And now
isn't there a robot for cleaning the cat litter?
No, well, that's pretty easy. Of course, all you do is pull the bag up. But you have to go look for the light. The app will now send a notification to your phone that the... It's time to change the bag.
This shows you how much money there is in the domesticated animal business.
Absolutely.
This is a huge business. But we have two cats, and because they are stupid, and I say that with love, they get – okay, so it turns out our neighbor's roof is easy to get onto, but apparently very hard to get off. So both cats now have gone up on our neighbor's roof and not come down. And one of them we couldn't find for a week. We finally figured it out. Now, when Samantha just went up there yesterday, we went right to the roof. And, yep, she's stuck on the roof. So now we can't let him out anymore. So this becomes a very important hygiene device because we wanted him to be indoor-outdoor cats so we'd have to worry about this.
Well, you know, you have to get one of those pet doors I did last year.
We have a pet door with a chip in it. And they go,
oh, you do?
But we can't let them out. They get stuck on the roof. At least we know where they're going.
Well, you know, you have to get a Wi-Fi roof for your neighbor.
I need it.
So it pings you.
We're thinking about talking to the neighbor about building a kitty gangplank. So that, because it's easy. Apparently, it's easy for the cats to leap onto the roof, but they don't want to leap off because it's a different, I don't know.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand cat psychology, obviously.
Well, anything you can jump onto, but then when you're up there, it's...
You don't want to jump off.
Yeah, because you look down and it's...
So I want to build a little gangplank. But twice now, we've had to go with a ladder, climb up on his roof to get the cats. So they're not going out anymore, even though we have this expensive... It detects the chip in the cat. It goes clonk.
Yes, and then it lets you know the cat is out, right?
Yeah, but we got the wrong kind. We got the one that anybody can go out. But only our cats can go in because we don't want raccoons to come in.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But now they have one that both chips because we were initially only going to let one cat. Anyway, forget it. We're getting the space cement mixer instead.
Okay.
So I'll let you know. I don't think we got the Fancy Dan robot.
No, I don't. I think it's got the middle one. You got the middle guy.
It's plenty expensive as it is.
Yes.
You can find out more at litter-robot.com. Correct. What do you do for your dogs? You walk them.
Yeah. Walk them, and if it's terrible out, they run out in the backyard. Yeah. I run out 2 minutes later with a bag and a poopa scooper.
There's something about cats. It makes people crazy because I think now Lisa now wants to build like a cat playground runways throughout the house where the cats can... climb up and go all over. I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
I've lost control.
You should get GoPros for them if you're going to do that.
Hey, keep your eye peeled for some sort of cat collar that with a GPS in it. Because, I mean, I know they make them, but they look pretty big. I think the cat would pull it off.
Yeah, Motorola makes one. And I said, it's nice, but it's huge. Yeah.
So
I will keep my eye open.
I'll tell you what you should do, folks. You should go to gizwiz.biz because you'll find out more about the robot and all the other stuff Dick talks about all the time. Crazy gizmos and gadgets. He makes regular appearances on ABC's World News Now, and of course on this show and other shows. And he does a great show called The Gizwiz that you can see every week on gizwiz.tv. And don't forget the What the Heck Is It contest at his website, gizwiz.biz. Chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine.
And what am I again? The gadget describer?
The gizmo. I don't remember.
The gizmo.
The gizmo recollector.
Getter. The gizmo getter.
The gizmo getter. The gizmo. Yeah, no. I think the gizwiz is it. I think you nailed it. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you later. Bye.
Right. Take care. Hey, thanks to our musical director, Nathan Staten. Great job, Nathan. Thanks to Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, for lining up the calls. Thanks to all of you for calling. And I hope you'll come back. Don't forget our website, techguylabs.com, has all the answers to all the questions. Free, no sign-up or anything. Your comments appreciated, too, if you've got better ideas or suggestions. Techguylabs.com. I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.